Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code POOL at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code POOL at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code POOL. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. The jobs report came out. It's really bad. And lots of people are getting fired or quitting their jobs. And I love this, Joe Biden. I love this guy. He comes out and he's like, it's actually a good thing that people are losing their jobs amid a abysmal jobs report and mass shortage of everything. The beef prices through the roof. Like, at least what we're looking at, it's like double the cost. Gas prices through the roof. I just saw the gas out here. We're in the middle of nowhere, and it was like $3.30 or $3.40 or something. And I'm like, wow. It's a good thing I got electric vehicles, because I was like, I'm planning ahead, man. That's what they're trying to do, right? So I guess we have to talk about what's going on with Joe Biden being a bad president, like we always do, because what time is it? Oh, yeah, it's today. It's a day ending with Y.
Yes.
So we've got Don't Walk, Run Productions. You want to introduce yourself, Andrew?
Hello, I'm Don't Walk, Run Productions.
Great intro.
Yeah, who are you? What do you do?
I'm Andrew from Don't Walk, Run. I have yes, please adjust that camera.
There we go. Beautiful.
I always change. There we go. Thank you. Hide that double chin.
Much more flattering. There we go. Tim knows what's up.
While Tim, the mastermind here, it's been a week to This time last year was my very first appearance on Tim Cast IRL.
Cool. Nice.
Welcome back, sir.
You weren't here, but do you remember what the subject was, what the hot topic was when I was here?
What was it?
It was when Trump got COVID.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah,
the audience share was through the roof.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
I mean, it was a stretch before the election. The views were crazy back then. Now we're in an off cycle year. It's like the 1 year in the cycle. So next year we got midterms, we've got primaries, and we got the general. So this is the year where like no one cares. But you know, we talk about it anyway.
But now we have Joe Biden, who's just like a godsend for content, you know?
So bad.
And as the senior political analyst, the top senior political analyst on YouTube, I'm very happy to be here, and I always appreciate the invite, and sorry I've been away for so long. Mm-hmm. Timcast. So
he literally just ran up the stairs like a minute before. He's like, I'm not late.
Here I am. Right.
I was stuck on the tarmac longer than I was actually like flying on a plane. Mm-hmm. So glad to be here.
Oh, brutal.
I'm glad you survived.
Well, I hate to break it to you, but Luke's here too.
Oh, boo.
I would agree with you, Andrew. Biden,
I am the senior, the top senior political analyst. That's what you're gonna say, right?
No. I was questioning the status of Don't Walk, Run when you almost came in late. But more importantly, I would agree with you that Biden is great for content and also destroying the economy. Welcome back, beautiful and amazing human beings. This is Luke Gadowski here of WeAreChange.org. And something strange has been happening to my YouTube channel ever since kind of being on here. The views have kind of plummeted. All videos are like 10 out of 10. It's weird. So if you guys want to show me some love and check out my channel, it is youtube.com/WeAreChange. Something really weird is happening in the algorithm. I don't know what it is, but like views cut in half and doesn't really make sense.
YouTube doesn't like us.
You're saturating your audience. That's what's happening.
It used to be when I used to hurt your channel just on beyond your just on being on your channel. Now you're hurting my channel. So I think that's good. I think it's a great sign to see in the coming times.
It's cyclical. It'll come back.
It's an off year, man. This is now is the time where it's like politics are out the window. Everyone's kind kind of like, but next year is going to start ramping up, and it's going to be brutal and awful, and everyone's going to be miserable.
Oh, Asteroid 2022.
Yes, mm-hmm. You know? Please.
But this is the midterm, so it's like an asteroid for every congressional seat.
That's fine with me.
The U.S. getting peppered by meteorites.
So the whole many. Point. Yes.
We got Lydia pressing the button.
I'm also pressing buttons. Ian's taking the night off tonight. I know you guys are going to miss him. We only have these two guys. We'll have fun anyway. I'm tagging along as well. I press buttons for a living. It's a good job.
Ian wanted us to let you know that his magnetic field was out of sync, and he just needs a night. He wasn't feeling it. So he will be out. But before we get started, head over to timcast.com. Become a member. You know, we have a special members podcast yesterday because it wasn't just like a normal riff-raff of the crew hanging out. James O'Keefe descended upon us.
Indeed.
And we had a little bit shorter, but James gave a direct update on all of his lawsuits. So the battles that he's in, that he's launched to stop defamation, to go after these liars and the results. And it was actually really fascinating. So we got to ask him a series of questions as he talked about this. And the People's Defamation Defense Fund, a.k.a. what they're doing is Project Veritas Legal, and how they're saying, you know, James said he wants to find a couple good cases where he can help regular people who have been defamed before the end of the year. Check that out at timcast.com. Become a member. Don't forget to like this video, subscribe to this channel, share the show with your friends. It's Friday night, everybody!
Woo! Yes! Woo. It'll be good.
Live from Harper's Ferry, it's Timcast, Friday night. Here's the story from the Daily Mail. When you see mass firings, look at the bigger story. Oh. Biden appears to defend the unvaccinated losing their jobs. Appears to. He literally defended it, saying, look at the bigger picture. The people who lost their jobs don't matter. Meanwhile, I'm just going to jump right into it. U.S. jobs growth unexpectedly weak in September. Thank you, Financial Times. Mm. Unexpectedly. Yes, I've been buying emergency food because I unexpectedly, I'm shocked by what's happening with the economy and the cost of beef, the rice shortages, the gas prices, the steel, the lumber, the labor shortage, the trucker shortage. I tried ordering some stuff off the internet. I don't even know where it is. It's gone.
Yep, these are the worst job numbers for his entire presidency. And he says, this is a sign America is moving forward. Yes, into the dumpster, into the trash, just economic Armageddon and just financial ruin for the rest of America. I mean, a lot of people need to understand that the pain out there that is felt is so wide, is so vast. I mean, people were just lambasted. They had so much government in their life that the lockdowns, the unemployment benefits, mm-hmm. the labor shortages, the supply shortages, the continued mandates, the continued rules and regulations are literally standing in the way of free capital from moving around. And then some people are still wanting more government for some reason. I just can't understand it. You guys got a lot of government. What does government look like? Directly getting involved in the economy, printing money out of nowhere, and hyperinflating the currency, robbing you blind.
Well, you know, Joe Biden wonders why. He's like, it's not happening fast enough. Well, maybe, just maybe, if you weren't scaring people every day. Oh, my goodness. Why do I have to do like, okay, I have to do the Joe Biden thing.
Unions.
That creepy
unions made
does.
The middle class.
Yes.
Look, he's scaring people. Every day he goes, it's a pandemic of the unvaccinated. No, it's not. It's a global pandemic. It's a global pandemic, right? We will never get to zero. We can't get to zero because we're one of hundreds of countries on the planet, right?
Well, specifically with his statement about the U.S. getting to 98%, that won't happen either because a large portion of the population lives in the middle of nowhere. You know, Joe Bob, who lives in the mountains, is not going to be like, well, I'm going to go drive down 2 hours to get to the city to get that vaccine. He's going to be like, I live 2 hours from the city. I'm
right.
going to stay where
I don't
I'm
see
at.
Anybody. But also you have to realize when he's saying that, look, we need to protect the vaccinated from the unvaccinated. Okay, but you're vaccinated, right? So basically he's saying if you're vaccinated, there's a risk that you're going to get the COVID and you're, and it's going to be that the big bad man who's unvaccinated and he's the one that's going to give it to you. So, you know, we need to get everybody vaccinated. And you're like, well, wait, so if I'm vaccinated, I could still get it. So maybe I won't go to that restaurant. Maybe I won't go shopping. Maybe I won't spend that money on that,
maybe
on that TV that I want because I might need it for medical bills later because the president said that I'm possibly going to die.
So you wonder why it is that with all these job openings, people won't take jobs. How many people in cities are like, I don't know, man, I don't feel good. Like Joe Biden's telling me that even if I'm vaccinated, but it's not just Joe Biden, even the New York Times. The New York Times got slammed because they put out the story where it was like the vaccinated are equally as likely to transmit COVID. And what they meant was if you are vaccinated and you get COVID, the transmission rates are comparable. But what people got mad about was they're like, yes, but the New York Times didn't include the statistics that you are substantially less likely to get sick if you are vaccinated.
Right. That's the whole point. It's not about stopping the spread anymore. And it never really was. And the New York Times just, I guess like a month and a half ago, they put out a story saying the odds are 1 in 5,000 that you're going to be hospitalized if you're vaccinated and you catch COVID, right? Or, you know, basically you're, or like, oh, well, maybe it's 1 in 10,000 depending on the area. It's like, no, it's like, Jesse Jackson and his wife got COVID after being vaccinated. Chris Rock.
Brett Kavanaugh, right?
Yeah.
Brett Kavanaugh.
Mm-hmm. Dave Chappelle.
The Texas Democrats that fled the state, right? They're like, oh, it's one in 5,000 breakthrough cases. It's like, then how did six or more on a plane, on the same plane get it? Yeah. You know, like statistically, you can't say that it's 1 in 5,000 or 1 in 10,000 when it's all these people that are getting it in the same room.
But I don't have an argument for like, arguing over statistics. I can say though, when it comes to math, when it comes to what Joe Biden was saying about jobs, you mentioned this just before the show. Joe Biden's like, look at United Airlines, you know, 59% were vaccinated. Now it's 99. And it's like, when you fire the people who aren't vaccinated, the proportion of those who are vaccinated goes up. Now, a lot of people did just go out and get the vaccine. But you know what worries me about this? At a time of hyperpolarization, the people who are being forced by their jobs and by Joe Biden to go get vaccinated are not happy people. They're completely stressed out. Like the posts I see online where people are like freaking out on Facebook, like convulsing, like, because it's like you lose your job, you can't feed your family, or you do as you're told and get a medical treatment you don't want. And there was one woman who was applying for a religious exemption who got denied, who said she felt like she was being raped, like something was being forced in her body and she couldn't do anything about it. And it's like, well, certainly not the same thing, but I can certainly understand being put in that position.
Have you seen the price of gold lately? It's hitting all-time highs. And when it comes to investing in gold, check out Noble Gold Investments. They have a track record of excellence that's second to none. Just look at their thousands of five-star reviews on Trustpilot, Google, and the Better Business Bureau. Customers rave about their knowledgeable staff, smooth investment process, and life-changing results, which you can see for yourself online. That's the kind of reputation you can count on. But it's not just about the reviews. Noble Gold Investments truly care about their clients. They take the time to understand your unique needs and goals, and they give expert guidance every step of the way. That level of personalized service is rare in this industry. Look, when it comes to securing your financial future, you can't afford to take chances. Go with the gold company that has earned the trust of countless investors. Visit noblegoldinvestments.com/Tim Pool today and discover why Noble Gold Investments is the only choice for smart, secure gold investments. Or give them a call at 877-646-5347. Again, that number is 877-646-5347.
People are, they feel like they have no choice. And when you back some people into a corner like this, you'll get a dangerous reaction.
And if you look at all the healthcare workers who were celebrated all last year, you know, I remember hearing people clanging pots and pans at 7 p.m. every day to celebrate.
Where are you based out of?
Well, at the time I was in New York. I was in Bushwick.
But not anymore.
See,
everybody listen.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been saying get out of cities. This guy did it.
Yeah.
He did.
Okay. Yes, I did. I did leave and I'm Florida man now.
Woo. Yes. Florida.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. No, look, it's, you know, taxes are so ridiculous in New York anyway.
You're getting fleeced. You're getting robbed. Totally. Literally, figuratively, just by living there in New York City.
I'll talk about this.
I didn't want to disrupt your previous thought, though.
Well,
I just wanted to point out.
No, well, I mean,
it's people. Let's do the pots and pans.
Okay,
the nurses.
Well, pots and well, which was annoying anyway, right? And then they stopped as soon as George Floyd happened. Like then people were like, then they were shooting off fireworks every night. You know,
yeah,
as rebellion.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they were doing that, and then and the whole time I'm there, and I'm just like, this is ridiculous. The cops aren't doing anything. You know, there were houses that were being burned down because of fireworks, mm-hmm. right? Which people don't think about, right? So all of my tax dollars, I'm just like, what am I paying for? I'm paying for the mayor's wife to say, hey, let's take down statues. Mm. I'm paying for a mental health initiative that cost $1 billion and has nothing to show for it, right? I'm paying for ranked choice voting. Where Andrew Yang, and that's something we could talk about too. That's ridiculous. But I was just like, I can't live here anymore. I wanted to live in New York my entire life. And then I did. And I had a girlfriend who wanted me to move to Columbus. And I'm just like,
and you're originally
I'm not leaving New York City. That's crazy.
But you're originally from Stone Mountain, Georgia, correct?
Yeah.
Does anybody get that reference?
Yeah.
You get the reference?
Yes, I do.
All right.
So I moved to Florida a few months ago. I do not miss these lockdowns. I don't miss the vaccine passports. I don't miss anything. New York, I'm sorry. Like you're going down in flames and there's just nothing left. It's like when Luke Skywalker, when Aunt Beru and Uncle Owen were murdered. And he's like, well, you know, Obi-Wan's like, you're gonna come with me to Alderaan? He's like, I got nothing here. That's it. Like, I got nothing in New York. You know?
I find it kind of weird that he didn't like break down crying that his family was just, you know, just murdered and their corpses were sitting there.
Well, Luke, you know, Uncle Owen wouldn't let him go to the Tashi station to pick up some power converters, so he's like really salty about that.
So he was like, good.
I hate Luke Skywalker.
He's a great character.
Luke Skywalker is the whiniest little piece of whatever. I hate him. I know it's a hot take.
How
right?
many other tangents can we go on?
We're going to go all over the place. Anyway, so I moved to Florida and it's great and it rains every other day and I have central air conditioning and no construction happening and it's just really no state income taxes, so
no fireworks at 2 o'clock in the morning.
No
rats carrying pizza slices down the stairs.
No, but lizards, tons of lizards, yeah. Tiny little lizards.
Hey, lizards are cool though.
I love it. Yeah. I think they're so cool.
Now the rats in New York, because of the lockdown, have been hunting. They've been going out in packs and hunting. Have you seen this?
I'd believe it. There
used to be so many tourists that there was food everywhere, and the rats would just hide and then eat refuse and then run. But now they're getting desperate and hungry, and so the rats have started coming out in packs, hunting and chasing people and stuff. I'll tell you what I just realized, though. We had a bear attack. A bear came onto our property in the middle of the night, and it tried ripping into our chicken coop. And we didn't know what it was at first, but we have three layers. We have thin chicken wire, and then we have this kind of like aluminum wire. It's not really chicken wire because it's bigger, but it's like it's stronger. It's thicker. And something ripped it out of the ground. It was buried, ripped it up, and broke it apart. And I was like, this can't be a fox, because normally we have the fox, but the chicken coop that we have is on an island surrounded by parking lots. So they normally don't come out this far. And then our neighbor told us that there was a bear. Why would the bear come out? It's desperate. Mm-hmm. Normally the bears don't cross the river, but the bear was desperate and it was hungry. And then I realized with the lockdowns, it's not just about the rats. It's about all of the wildlife that would normally go and ransack a garbage bin or something. Now there's less food. Now people aren't going out as much, and there's less litter, which means they're going to be hungry and they're going to be scavenging more.
But it
more
depends where you go. Staying home, though.
Yeah, I mean, in Florida, more people are out partying more than ever. People are flying in just to party in Florida. But there's also the cases of the monkeys in Thailand because of the restrictions of tourism. A lot of the Thailand economy has just been absolutely devastated, and there's roving gangs of monkeys literally fighting each other in street warfare. And we're talking about like 50 monkeys fighting another group of 50 monkeys for territory for food because they're so desperate and they can't get any because there's no one feeding them. There's no food around. There's no trash around. So, I mean, I think that's a perfect analogy to maybe things to come, especially in our socioeconomic dichotomy.
It's like
evolving.
Nature. nature, right? You know, in New York, it's rats. In Thailand, it's monkeys.
Rats and gangsters.
In Venezuela, it's capybaras. You know, it's,
capybaras are legit.
They're awesome.
I want to own a capybara in my lifetime. I think they're awesome.
Another thing that's important to note here is that when we have kind of economic calamity and the lack of economic opportunity, we also see crime rise up. So recently I saw a whole bunch of mainstream media articles saying crime's up 30%, 25%, 35% in all the different cities. And it's pretty clear, just in the United States alone, crime has dramatically gone up. And I think that's in part because of so much economic opportunity just being swindled away and ruined by the federal government, not just with their lockdowns, but with their continued interventionist policies that are absolutely destructive towards a free market, that have obliterated it, created more poverty, and because of the poverty, we have way more crime than we used to before. And also this lax idea of giving someone a slap on the wrist for, you know, shooting up a school, which has happened.
Hold on. We got some good news and some bad news. All right, we'll carry forward.
Yeah.
Good news and bad
news. The good news is that people didn't die.
Well, the good news here, hold on, is that with everything that's going on, Republican support is doubling in rural factory towns where you'd expect Democrats to have leads, like union towns. The bad news is Republicans don't do anything anyway. But here's a story from the Daily Mail. Republican support in factory towns in rural areas has doubled in comparison to Democrat gains in cities and college communities, in another worrying sign for Biden's party before 2022. There's also good news and bad news. So I'll say it again. Good news is that people are finally saying, yo, the Democrats are ripping us off and it's bad. I'll vote Republican. The bad news there is, what are the Republicans going to do? Mitch McConnell, ooh. Then the good news and bad news mixed together, depending on what your perspective is. This is also talking about Democrat making gains in cities. Well, people who are, here's what I think is happening. You know, people who grew up in Stone Mountain, Georgia, and moved to New York City, realized that it was better way back home and left the city, taking that red vote out of the city, making it bluer, and making the other suburban areas and more rural areas more red, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you.
Well, I don't know how much of an impact my single vote is going to have on my area, which is kind of heavily.
But there's a lot of people like you, though. And Florida is still a swing state every national election.
National election, sure. But a senator, that's fine. But my local congressperson or, you know, city council and all that, my vote's not likely going to matter too much unless, you know, the area is inundated with disaffected Republican New Yorkers. You know?
I've been to Florida. There's a lot of them. there's a lot of people there, especially in Fort Lauderdale.
I never leave my apartment, so I couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, malls and stuff and outlets.
I've been to Orlando, the city center.
Yeah.
Has really been, I don't know. It was just weird being in there. It was like, there's like sort of elements of like New York City in there, the bad parts of New York City. But outside of it's beautiful and amazing. And I remember staying on this farm in Orlando, just on the outskirts of Orlando, and meeting some like natural organic farmers and homesteaders, finding a really great community out there of liberty-minded individuals that were very self-reliant, which was really cool and awesome. But inside of the city, I was like, oh, this is a crap hole, honest with you.
Were they all in Disney World?
No. Outside of Disney World. We did visit one of the theme parks, which is
Gatorland. You went to Gatorland?
Yes.
this is what Fridays are like, I guess.
We just rampant.
I wanted to bring up, you know, like, is a red wave going to happen?
Okay. All right. Well, all right. Let's, I'm sorry. I did not mean to derail you, Tim.
talking about Disney World, well, Luke Skywalker,
and hey, you're the one that brought up that I moved. So that's all on you, man. Look, you
did an amazing segue. You were like, I did move. So Luke Skywalker, by the way.
Hey, at least I didn't start talking about Batman.
That's true. Thank you for not doing that.
Red wave.
Okay.
Yes.
Republicans.
Everybody's upset at these 10 senators raising a debt limit, what, like $400 billion or whatever. I don't know if the House voted yet. I was stuck on a plane without internet, so I'm sorry I'm a little out of the loop.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, thanks, Lydia. But,
you're welcome.
But do you think that – I'll ask Luke first. Luke, do you think that Mitch McConnell next year, if the Senate regains – you know, the Republicans anyway, do you think Mitch McConnell will be the majority leader?
I'm not sure. I don't think it even matters. And if he is, it's just going to be another lame duck session. I think probably
well, he was just elected.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. But, so. But probably it's going to continue on like it always has. And the Republicans are just going to turn over and not really do much when that happens.
Who would you guys like to see as the Senate majority leader?
Rand Paul?
Yes, Rand Paul. Absolutely.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. I mean, that's a pipe dream. That's never happened.
I know. For sure. Yeah. I know.
That's never happened.
Not even a hard question.
What's your second? Who's your second choice?
Josh Hawley? Oh, I don't know. No, he's
Ted Cruz. Yeah.
There you go.
I don't care.
Honestly, it's like Rand Paul's a libertarian.
Remember how we didn't like Ted Cruz back in 2016?
Yeah, I remember that.
And now he's awesome. Like, I don't think he's presidential. I've actually said in one of my videos that I think that he would be, like, the perfect Supreme Court justice.
Oh, interesting. Right?
But yeah. I don't see him as ever becoming president of the United States. He's too polarizing, but he's a really smart guy, and he's definitely won me over as far as being a senator. Actually, did you guys see the Shane Gillis? You know Shane Gillis? He's the Saturday Night Live guy. He was brought on, and then he was immediately fired because of things that he said in a podcast.
I haven't seen
him. He has a stand-up special that he put on YouTube, and it's amazing. And it's really funny, and he's totally, like, ripping on Ted Cruz, but in a funny way, and Trump, and Biden. And it's definitely worth the watch. But yeah, people just didn't like Ted Cruz. And then however he did, I don't know how he did it. But I love him. Not to vote for him for president.
He's all right. I think the Republican Party is just mostly garbage. There's like a handful of people that are good, but they've always just...
Like Hawley, I agree.
Yes, he's great.
Cotton mm-hmm. is great.
Yeah.
Massey.
You know, everybody loves Rand Paul. So, you know.
I don't like that Zodiac guy, to be honest with you. Did you see he tweeted? Yeah. I mean, he hired someone for his Twitter account, and they're doing a great job.
I'll be
honest.
They discovered the identity of the Zodiac killer, and then Ted Cruz tweeted, thank God.
I don't.
No. He wrote, there's a new investigation into who the Zodiac killer is, and he wrote, no.
I don't like that, though. I mean,
AOC style politicking.
No, I like that. I like that Ted Cruz is self aware and totally kind of rolls with it. You know, like he just doesn't care. I mean, he's gotten more insults from once you're insulted.
He grew a beard.
When you're insulted by Donald Trump, like everything else kind of like pales in comparison.
Have you ever seen Bullworth?
Yes.
So that's what happened. You know, Ted Cruz is up on stage and Trump's just railing him and railing him. And then he's like sitting in his apartment and he's like just drinking the scotch from the bottle, laughing like he just ties all this. And then he decides to just wing it. And then people end up liking him.
But I don't, getting back to the Zodiac thing, I don't like that these,
right.
I don't like that these people actually came out and said, we think it's this guy. This guy's dead. He can't defend himself.
What are you talking about?
Well, because you talked about the Zodiac killer.
No, I was talking about a red wave.
No, Ted Cruz, and you're talking about, come on.
We're trying.
Put in the chat, guys. Come on. Don't, you know, back me
I'm
up.
I'm reading it. They're like, we don't care.
There's a delay. Okay. Yeah.
So you're saying the Zodiac killers could be the Senate majority leader?
Yes.
Sure. I hope so. Yeah. Or Mark Hamill.
Oh, really?
Luke Skywalker. This
one. Sure.
Yeah, but Luke died, so he's a Force ghost.
So stupid.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
No, I there's 14 Democrat seats up, 20 Republican seats up, so I'm not sure the Republicans would even take it back, even if... But I guess...
They will. They will. I'll tell you who exactly is... First of all, it's 50-50 right now, right?
Right.
And first of all, this doesn't even make any sense to me. Schumer is the majority leader. There's 48 Democrats, 2 independent.
Yep.
And 50 Republicans. So technically the Republicans are in the majority, at least in party. But
that's so weird.
The independents, they caucus with the Democrats, right? And I guess by default, right? But Raphael Warnock, he's gone. Mm. He won special election. His term is up in 2022. This guy is a radical. The only reason what's his name? The other guy, the guy that everybody thinks is cute.
Donald Trump?
Remember. No.
The other senator. He basically.
John Ossoff?
Yeah. See,
okay.
In the election, because they have this, you have to have like 50%, right? So nobody got 50%, right. And that's why they had to have the runoff.
Right.
If Doug Collins didn't run against Kelly Loeffler, she would have won. But instead, you know, Trump loses the election and you have all these disaffected Republicans going, well, right, mail-in voting, that doesn't work. And then you have like morons like the woman, you know, Michael Flynn's lawyer, and they're like, don't go vote. And then that's, you know, but that's why Warnock, he's unpopular. He's going to lose. And it's very possible that Mark Kelly's going to lose too.
Here we go. When the Republicans take back the House and the Senate, mm-hmm, we will all be able to rise up. You know, light a cigarette, sit back down, and then be like, oh,
not do nothing.
Do nothing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if we're going to get anything done, but I guarantee that we'll. All I want is the firewall. I don't want the Green New Deal. I don't want this Build Back Better BS. It's all
the Great Reset.
See, if Warnock and Ossoff were not elected, we wouldn't be having this right now. Mm-hmm. Biden would just be an incredibly, like, he wouldn't even get anything done through reconciliation.
Right.
And it would be amazing. Right. And he's like, oh, I wrote Build Back Better. I wrote all these things. He's like, yeah. And we're not looking at it. We don't care. Like, try in 2022. Try in 2024. And he's not running in 2024. He can't even talk. The guy can't even talk.
Biden. I wonder if Biden's a patsy.
No, he's, look, he,
no, think about,
he
it, think
wanted,
about it.
He's been wanting, he wanted to be president,
right,
forever.
Right. But think about how he's not there. You know what I mean? And so the Democrats, here's what happens. Donald Trump enacts a bunch of things that work, right? The migrant protection protocols, you know, the policies towards immigration in general.
Right.
Deportations, which brought jobs back to like these chicken plants, the tariffs. Yeah, there's a trade war. There were a lot of problems, but we saw auto manufacturing coming back to Michigan, things like that. The economy was doing really well. And the Democrats are like, okay, we need to reverse these things. But if we do, people are going to get pissed. And then Joe Biden's sitting in the corner with his tongue hanging out. And they're like, let's make him president for a term. Make him do all this stuff. And you know what they do? They, instead of, wouldn't it be crazy if instead of like him actually being in the White House, they built like a sound stage across the street and just like stuck him in it?
That'd be so
and
weird.
And then have everyone be like, look, he's the president.
Like
now,
a fake White House.
Right.
Yeah, so weird.
And then, and then they start enacting all these policies that destroy the good things Trump did. And then, you know, start wars, botch Afghanistan, punish people who are anti-war, send troops into Syria. Just really just go at it. COVID's getting, you know, the pandemic is not getting any better. The lockdowns are getting worse. And then it all is absorbed by Joe Biden, who very heroically looks the Democrats in the eyes and says, I can be that hero. The one you deserve, the one you need.
He's definitely taking one for the globalist, I would say. I mean, every single policy, and I don't think they're mistakes. I don't think they're blunders. I don't think they're, there's so much money invested in them. I mean, everything the president does is carefully, reviewed by a team of people. He has a whole bunch of PR experts down to the tie, down to the background. Every little thing is carefully curated to give off a specific image, to give off a specific idea to manipulate the general public. I don't think a lot of this is by accident. I think they're going to blame a lot of the bull crap that they never had the balls to push through on this senile old man who's not really there. And I don't think Biden's really there. I don't think most presidents really are there, except for some few instances. But for the vast majority of presidents, you could see the same foreign policy. You see the same financial policy. You see the same policies that over and over again predominantly screw over the middle and poor class and only enrich the billionaire corporate class. So it's just been the same thing over again. Just keep replacing him. Just keep blaming all on him. And to me, he's the perfect puppet. It's the perfect situation to rush through, jam through all the bullcrap that no one even dared to put a face behind just years ago.
And then they'll run Kamala.
No, she's very unpopular. I mean, Biden's numbers are down. Kamala's were never up. Like, she was never polling high. She never had a favorable rating.
Kamala.
I don't give a damn. Yeah. She's Kamala, whatever.
You're that guy.
You know what I'm trying to say.
All right, so who then?
What do you mean who?
If it's not going to be Biden or Kamala.
I don't think it's going to matter at that point. I think we're at such a stage where.
No, I think we're.
I got an idea. Trump Jr. run as a Democrat.
Yes. Perfect.
Perfect plan. It solves all the problems.
Caitlyn Jenner. You know, because that worked so well. No, Andrew Yang. In the forward party.
Oh, is that what he's calling it? The forward party?
Yeah, he's selling a book. Don't even, you know, this guy's 15 minutes are up. Screw him.
Is it the four war
the
party?
Forward. The
forward. Oh, okay.
Forward.
Yeah.
Okay. So
did he even like announce how different he is? Like his major policy changes? Did he even go into any of that?
He's just like, you know, not left, not right.
But what is he? What
forward. Like, yeah, oh, great job. It's like an 8-year-old wrote it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he's, okay, going back to, so Andrew Yang's not running, but he's so uncharismatic. Like, he's never gonna win.
Well, he tried to be mayor of New York City.
Yeah,
he failed
good
with that.
Luck with, yeah, he did so great. He's awful. He's an awful debater. Hey, how about this? Oh, big pandemic, right? Oh, all the robots are gonna, everything's gonna be automated. You know, really? Everybody's working from home. And then you have all the frontline workers and everybody in retail. They're not being replaced
Nobody's working.
Well, but they're not being replaced by automation. And behind a lot of that automation are people behind the scenes making food and then shoving it in a hole where you click a keypad and open a door and go, oh, it's magic. You know, that's not how it works. Getting back to who's going to run, who can run for president in 2024, because it's
a Democrat.
It will not be Joe Biden. It cannot be Joe
Maybe.
Biden.
Who knows? They'll just keep pulling him out.
He's decrepit now.
Yeah. They'll get like a wheelchair or something. And they're like, here you go. Here's a good go. I mean,
are they going to walk? Are they going to like push him around like Stephen Hawking and just like say, Biden can't talk, so we're going to have this computer talk.
It won't be a big difference from what's happening now.
Look, have you guys seen the Onion article?
No.
Stress of presidency already ages Biden 10 years.
Oh my gosh.
It's a rotted corpse.
Well, okay, you're right about Kamala's
numbers. Yeah.
I think they're hovering around like 49%. If she was actually out more, people would just
She's hiding.
She's the most amazing border czar ever. You know, like she's not gonna. She's unpopular, but she's also not a genuine person, and she's not charismatic at all. Like there's nothing to her.
She cackles at pain and suffering.
Yeah,
like that's a bad personality trait.
I mean, who doesn't?
Like, right?
People are suffering. You murdered children in the Middle East.
No, a journalist was literally like, ma'am, human traffickers are abandoning children in rivers. They're dying and children are being raped. And she goes,
it's like Ellen crazy. Clinton, man.
Okay. First of all, chat, while I'm pontificating here, who do you think could run in 2024, not Harris, not Biden, as a Democrat?
I'm looking at the chat right now, so I'll be able to answer
that
question.
Thank you very much. It's very
They're saying Brandon. Everyone's saying Brandon right now.
That's like the greatest thing ever.
Let's go, Brandon.
I'm using that hashtag now.
I love it.
It's amazing.
You see what Scott Adams said? He said a slogan idea for Trump 2024, his presidency, is Let's go, Brandon. Yes. It's basically like Trump's slogan being Joe Biden.
It's perfect. And it's more fun to say.
People are saying your mom, Booker.
That's good. Yeah,
Pelosi. Mm. Pelosi. I mean.
Dianne Feinstein, maybe.
Tulsi.
She'll be 94, right?
Newsom. These nuts. Hillary. lots of Brandons. Andrew Cuomo. AOC. I'm just reading off some of the results here. Xi Jinping.
Garland, Nadler, Tulsi.
A lot of Brandons. Joe Rogan, Newsom. A lot of people are saying Newsom.
Matthew McConaughey.
Newsom.
Hunter Biden. Newsom. Some people are saying Al Gore.
I don't think Newsom, but I think maybe Garcetti.
Maybe. Newsom reminds me of like a generic movie villain, you know? Like,
Kendall.
Yeah, no, like a generic movie villain. Like, probably like a sub-boss, not the final boss, but like the arrogant guy who ends up, you know, he reminds me of, you know, in Iron Man 3, there's the guy who's always chewing gum? That guy. Like, not in their attitudes and the way they behave and the smugness, and it's like he's not the big bad boss, he's just a, like an underling, but like a big underling, you know?
See, this is, you're right, he's smug. He's definitely a very smug person. And I think that's why a lot of these popular politicians from certain states just can't break outside of the borders of that state. Like, say, Chris Christie. Chris Christie was kind of popular in New Jersey. Hmm. He goes out on the national stage and he's a dud. Yeah. Rudy Giuliani, America's mayor, right? Like, this guy was like leadership.
Mr. 9/11.
And then
couldn't stop talking about it.
Yeah, exactly. But then he comes out and it's like he's basically just like a know-it-all New Yorker.
People are also saying Michelle Obama and Oprah.
Yeah, but which already had a black male president already. So
I think Michelle Obama would win. I think
she'd be good.
I think she'd get a massive landslide. I genuinely think so.
I'm going to repeat Bill Burr, but like why? Because she danced on Ellen?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
I think I'm kidding. She's Obama 2.0, and she's a woman, and she's going to get all the women are going to vote for her. She's going to get all of the social justice vote. Plus, there's going to be a lot of people who are like, Obama.
I think Oprah, too, also has a big chance because she kind of tested the waters. There were some news articles suggesting that she might run for some kind of office, and they were kind of testing it because pollsters usually do that. They usually kind of put out their candidate saying they might run, and they kind of field to test this. Oprah also had a lot of meetings with Bloomberg, with the Rockefellers, with Mr. Bill Gates when they had their secret meeting in New York City talking about population reduction a few years ago. So she's in the inner circle of a lot of ruling elites. She's in the inner circle of, like, the Kissingers, the Rockefellers, Rothschilds, the Gateses, they all met privately. They all had their secret meetings. Look up the meeting that happened. The media called this the meeting of the superheroes. And this was a meeting that happened in New York City. And they talked about literally population reduction. And this was about 5 to 7 years ago. And a lot of people, you know, forget how involved Oprah actually is in our political spectrum, especially with the money that she donates, especially with the culture
that she pushes. Remember when she was pro-Iraq war?
Yep.
And there was like some guest was like, I just don't think that we should invade Iraq. And then she was like, what?
You believe we should be weak?
Yeah.
I was like, what? Holy frickin' cow. I mean, and she's perfect. She knows how to cater to an audience. She knows how to read scripts. She knows how to push the globalist propaganda more than anyone else. She knows how to hold a conversation, how to debate people, how to argue with people. She would be, I mean, I'm calling it. Oprah 2024, I would be surprised not to see it at some point or some kind of level of, because I mean, we had Donald Trump. He was a reality TV star. I don't think we're going to go away from this kind of factor of entertainment and societal impact being involved in politics. I think it's only going to increase as it did in Idiocracy.
But how smart do you think she is on, on policy.
Intelligence really, I mean, she's
cool. She's a smart woman, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, she's, what is she? She's a billionaire. She's a part of the billionaire club, right?
Doesn't make you smart, but it makes you, you
know. Of course, she had the right people around her, but I would say that's smart. You know, so I say, I think she is smart enough, and I think she definitely has the connections. So I think there's, you know, and something her, to think about there.
She got
and,
the money to self-fund, too.
And her running mate would be The Rock or somebody like.
You saw The Rock support Newsom in the recall election?
Of course he did. Yeah. Well, he supported Biden, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
He came out.
Anything
that was a big
for
deal.
Money, man. That's what it's all about.
Lydia, if you had to vote between one of these two choices, you had to vote. There's no out.
Oh, The Rock, hands down.
The Rock or Oprah?
I would definitely vote for The Rock, just because I would never vote for a woman.
I wouldn't vote for. I wouldn't vote for.
It's true.
Lordy.
It's true.
I wouldn't vote for anyone.
Wow, sexist.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, everyone. Sorry to disappoint everyone.
I'm gonna vote for
the
Rock. No, I wouldn't. There wouldn't be much difference in any of them. Jumping off a building.
No, it's like Highlander.
I flip a coin because it really won't matter because they'll push the same policies.
Mm-hmm.
I'll flip a coin.
But who would be more fun to see at certain events and stuff?
Well, think about it this way. When Oprah is in office, she's going to go, you get a cruise missile and you get a Hellfire missile. And The Rock is going to be like, who wants a Hellfire missile? So which one is more fun, you know? I kind of think the Oprah would be more fun because she'd be like, everybody gets Hellfire missiles.
Everybody gets Medicare.
Oh, imagine this. You know, we should make this. You know the scene in Iron Man when he does the Jericho and the mountain explodes
behind
him?
What is this? You and Iron Man today.
Yeah.
Always, yeah.
So when he does the Jericho missile and he wipes out the whole mountain behind him in the first movie, we just need Oprah being like, yeah, and that can be her campaign for her presidency. Like, that's the only ad she'll need, and she'll win.
My favorite
because of the pro-war part.
One of my favorite memes is that where she's doing, you know, like everybody gets the thing, and it's bees. Yeah.
So it's like my
and everyone's screaming and running. Top 100 favorite things in the internet. That's classic. Classic stuff.
Oh my
stuff.
Goodness.
Let's see if I can pull this one up.
Bees.
She's like,
bees.
Oprah bees.
Oh my goodness.
Everybody knows what I'm talking about. Oh my goodness.
But most importantly, I still think we're very long ways away from 2024. I think there's going to be a lot of surprises, a lot of upheaval, a lot of crazy things to come up before then that will change everything and will change our viewpoint of exactly how we see politics.
Well,
even.
First of all, we're going to have, you know, the big game changer is going to be like COVID-23. That'll be,
I think
that'll
the economic,
be the big thing.
The economic aspect will be more prevalent, to be
honest. We're going to have a COVID forever. We're going to have like a new COVID every election cycle. It's going to be perfect.
Well, there's no reason
we're
for
playing
it.
The bees
You're
thing
playing the bee thing.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, maybe.
She's like, bees! And the people are crying. Oh, yeah. And the reaction from the crowd. That's what makes that, yeah. It's
amazing. Mm-hmm. Everybody's freaking out.
There's a woman crying.
I would do that than go through another 4 years of Joe Biden.
Honestly,
like being stung by thousands of bees.
You have a choice. You have to open a box full of bees in your bedroom or 4 more years of Joe Biden.
Well, there's also, speaking of bees, there's also, and memes, there's also the Nicolas Cage meme where he's got the thing and, you know, from, the Wicker Man.
Yeah, the Wicker Man.
And he's screwed up bees. Like, I would rather do that than go through another 4 years of Joe
Same.
Biden. Probably. But,
you know, the problems the Democrats had in the last cycle too is they don't have anyone. And I think this is the biggest indicator that Democrats and the left are completely not cool.
And see, and the list that Luke was reading, you know, he was saying, you know, Booker, like, no. Booker was terrible in the debates, and he's not charismatic either.
You know the interesting thing is? I don't know if cool is the right word to describe Trump, but there's something.
He has an it factor.
Right. Absolutely.
There's something about him. Like, first of all, he's funny, and mm-hmm. we all know yep. that.
True.
Whether you hate his policies, like, it's like when he was talking about the definition of what woke is. You know, which I'm not going to repeat here, but that was hilarious. It was so funny when he was saying,
I know the moment he won. It's when Megyn Kelly said, you know, you insulted Rosie O'Donnell. you called women fat pigs. Yeah. It was only Rosie O'Donnell. And I was like.
And the crowd erupted.
Yeah.
And the crowd was like, ooh. Like, you know, and they laughed. All of them laughed. They weren't supposed to.
You have to watch this Shane Gillis thing. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, it's really funny. He points out that those debates, the Republican debates, they were electric. Yeah. They were must-see TV.
Yep.
Because there's just something about, like, Gillis points out, he's like, you know, you have like a policy guy, like, blah, 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 you know, I like schools and this and that. And Trump's just like insulting people left and right. And you're just like, yeah, do it, man. It's like, you know, shut up, nerd.
But it's not that, it's that anger people felt where it's like the Republicans don't do anything. They waste everyone's time. They had power in 2016, 17, 18. They did literally nothing. Trump getting in there and insulting them just felt good. He gets in and he gave it was like they hired a guy to go middle, give everybody the middle finger. And they were happy with that.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to, has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I mean, obviously they were happy. They wanted a lot more. They wanted a lot of what Trump was offering.
And within,
but I'm saying they were satisfied watching Trump give the middle finger to these people.
And within a couple weeks, like even I think even before the first debate, Trump was leading in the polls.
I think so. Yeah.
Right? Like they're like, oh well, he was really low. Like, no, he wasn't. Like you need to look at the actual. Like go to RCP. You know, there was like 1 week where Ben Carson was like leading the polls, and it was by like a fraction, and then. Then he just kind of sputtered out too, in weirdest housing department pick ever. But you know, he totally flame out. But
there's no Democrat personalities that have any charisma.
No, none. No, it's definitely not Harris. Definitely not Biden.
But it's because they can't have charisma. Name a Borg unit with charisma. You know what I mean? Like they're none. They're just cookie cutter garbage.
But there are some. There are some, well, Bernie's not a Democrat, but there's something about Bernie Sanders. He has a certain charisma, even though it gets old, because it's just the same thing over again. The billionaires and the millionaires and, you know, and like you've said in the past, he stopped saying millionaires as soon as he became a millionaire.
He's like, he started saying it again. I wonder if his bank account went down. He's like, it's safe to criticize the millionaires again. I'm not a millionaire anymore.
But there's something to Bernie Sanders. And it's the weirdest thing because I remember working in news and covering 2016, and you're just like you thought it was a joke, like nobody ever heard of this guy, right? Most people, you know, and you're almost like, well, he's doing it as a public service. He's going in and he's raising some issues. He's saying, hey, we can get free college for people. We can help the middle class. We can do all these things. And you're like, he's going to bring up a couple things. They're going to have 6 debates and Hillary's going to win, but you have this guy and he knows he's not going to win. And then it got to his head. Then he's like, oh man, I could win this. I could win it all. And then he lost because, you know, everything's corrupt.
And then he forfeits and bows down and kisses the ring of power of Hillary Clinton.
My favorite moments is, or one of the saddest moments is during the 2016 Democrat convention.
I was there, and I think you were there too.
When he's basically like this, you know.
They had special noise canceling subwoofers that they brought in to cancel out the Bernie people inside of that stadium. And another thing to really consider here.
I wanted to comment on that.
Go ahead.
So you're mentioning, you know, Bernie giving it, selling out and all the stuff. And when I look at AOC, and a lot she's shifted a whole lot as now this, you know, as she's trying to stay in. They were gonna take away her district. They were gonna redistrict and get rid of her. They were gonna primary her, and then all of a sudden she started shifting a little bit more. We just saw Pelosi walk up to her and wave her arms in the air on C-SPAN, and then AOC changes her vote on the Iron Dome from.
No. I made a video about this, and if you really have to zoom in on that footage, she ignored AOC. Pelosi ignored AOC. Pelosi, I can't remember the names, but Pelosi was speaking to two other, Congress people. Having a conversation, and she Pelosi does that thing with their hands anyway, yeah. Right? Then all these people came, like Pramila Jayapal and Debbie Dingell and AOC. They all came to that little area where Pelosi's having this conversation, and AOC's like putting on a show, and she's like putting her hands in her. It's like she's so sad, and Pelosi's just completely focused, like she's wearing blinders. She's completely focused. On these two congresspeople. But wait, this is the best part. She looks over for like a second and keeps talking. Like she does this power move. She wasn't reacting to AOC. Right. AOC did not change her vote. I don't know why she changed her vote.
The point is, AOC changed her vote, right? That's what I'm saying. But Pelosi's irrelevant. The fact is, one of the first things that happened with AOC when she got elected was all of a sudden her really strong opinions on Palestine shifted a bit when she was on PBS and says, you know, honestly, I don't know all that much. And she got roasted by the left, who said, we're going to see more of this. AOC certainly is a leftist and a socialist, but she's trying to toe that line so she doesn't lose her district. And Bernie Sanders did the exact same thing. Bernie Sanders, I'll tell you what my opinion of both of these people are. Bernie, he's in a gym with this $20 banner he gets put up for his presidential run, and no one cares. No one's ever cared, but all of a sudden he's getting a groundswell of support. Eventually, he's famous. You know, very quickly, all of a sudden, he's feeling it. He's feeling it, that feeling of flying so high. And then Bernie realizes the Democrats aren't going to let him go anywhere with this. They're going to shut him down, and he needs to play ball or he'll lose it all. And so Bernie said, I will play ball. He stopped saying the millionaires. The moment, see, Bernie was standing outside the billionaire's mansion with all of the people behind him yelling with pitchforks. And he's like, I can see the keyhole. The billionaires and the billionaires are inside. And then they open the window and say, hey, Bernie, you want to come in? Absolutely. And then he comes inside and goes, all of you have to go home or we're calling the cops. That's Bernie Sanders. That's AOC.
Yeah, he's a grifter. He had some personality. He had some charisma, but he totally sold out on many instances. And another thing about the personality and charisma, you don't need it. We just saw through the latest presidential election, you don't even need a candidate. You need someone in the basement. You don't need anyone out there in the campaign trail. You don't need anyone on the television. You don't need anyone doing interviews. You literally have an image of someone, which they have of Biden. So why wouldn't they just repeat the same thing? I mean, the media controls reality for a large swath of people. And that reality was conveyed. The power of the media was really perfectly represented through the last election where a candidate didn't even run.
Yeah. Hold on. And we have the article from The Atlantic. Stay alive, Joe Biden. Democrats need little from the front runner beyond his corporeal presence.
Let's talk about
the media
Bernie
ran. That's what it was. The media ran for president.
Exactly. Yeah. No. And the media won. Bernie, the media's getting their way.
Bernie's biggest mistake in 2020 was running as a Democrat. He's not a Democrat. He is an independent, right? The Democratic Party basically screwed him over in 2016. Then at one point he's leading in the polls. He was leading in the polls. He almost became the president. And then everyone freaked out. The DNC, all the other candidates up on that stage, the media, everybody. And they went after him. And within 2 weeks, he was done. As soon as South Carolina happened, he should have never run as a Democrat.
Because if he ran independent, Trump would have won.
He keeps saying, we have the largest grassroots organization, blah, 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 blah.
We have the largest grassroots organization.
Better. Thank you.
$20.
I am asking you again. another great
I am once
game.
Again asking you to give all your money to me.
He could have.
Bernie Sanders.
He could have run as a Democrat. He would have gotten a ton of. He could have actually debated Trump and Biden. Think about how amazing that would have been. He didn't need the Democrats. Yeah. But instead, he was just like, he goes, and I promise that I will get behind The nominee, he didn't want to do that. He didn't want to get it behind Biden, but he had to. Well, you know,
because he wants to keep his money.
The only reason that he ran as a Democrat for a second time, moron, is because he wanted that national attention to be up on stage again, but he didn't have anything new to say. And instead, all these other candidates like Castro, Elizabeth Warren, all these people, they just basically co-opted a whole bunch of his ideas, and he just saturated everything. Now Bernie isn't like he wasn't like a special person. Everybody on that stage was talking about the things that, you know, free college and immigration and all these things, and he screwed it for him. He screwed himself over.
He tried one-upping everyone else, being like, "Remember back when I said we have to have secure borders? I didn't mean it. I am not a bigot. We should have completely open borders, and
we can bring in everybody."
I loved it when the World Socialist website called Bernie Sanders a nationalist capitalist. because he was speaking at a rally, and someone said, you know, should we allow all the refugees to come in, open the borders? And he went, no, heavens no. If we open the borders, everyone in the world would want to come here.
He talked about it being a Koch brother plan, right, trying to get free labor inside of the United States to compete with the American labor force, which, again, no one even talks about anymore, which is crazy. He was making some good points, but I think he played his role. I don't think he was an idiot. I think he did exactly what they told him to do. He said, "Yes, master, tell me what to do," and he did it exactly like they wanted him to do it.
He shouldn't have run as a Democrat.
He injected a whole bunch of energy into the Democratic Party. He got a whole bunch of money. He got a whole bunch of people, young people, predominantly interested in the party that were never interested. Some of them tried to rebel, but he came on that national stage and he bowed down to Hillary. He said, "Okay, everyone, put all of your power, all of your energy, everything you have sacrificed for me, give it to Hillary."
I'll tell you, I remember exactly what happened. Bernie Sanders was standing before this large activist base who were pointing their lightsaber at Hillary, who was on the ground going, "I'm too weak." And then Bernie was like, "You don't do it. I need her to win. I need her." And then the people were like, "No, Hillary is wrong and evil." And then Bernie sabered off the populist left's saber, and then Hillary forced lightning out the window. And then Bernie went, "What have I done?"
Power.
And then he fell to his knees, and Hillary Clinton walked over to him, and she was like, "Rise, my Bernie Sanders." And Bernie was like, "I will do whatever you say." And that's how we got Darth Sanders. Yep.
I thought you were accurate. I'm sorry. I thought you were going to refer to the Seattle rally. Remember when the Black Lives Matter?
People
came up basically just
and he just gave up
and started calling the. And started calling the crowd racist. And the crowd is like, what? How dare you? How dare you?
Bernie needed the Democratic Party to lift him up. And I think genuinely that Bernie was like, "I will use the Democratic Party." That's why he ran as a Democrat. It was the only way he was going to get a pedestal, and he had to play ball. And that meant he had to change his positions, and he probably thought, but once I'm president, I'll do the right thing. And then it's never going to happen. And then once they made him rich, he was like, "Well, I deserve it. I've fought my whole life." And so now he's got how many houses does a guy own?
Three houses in a summer camp.
Good
he said,
him.
Right?
Hey, bravo! You know, being a socialist pays off, I guess. I mean, for the wealthy elite ones, for the poor people, they tend to starve or die. But you know, in this capacity, everybody who voted for these Democrats, I tell you, man, I mentioned this before. My friends, people I know my whole life were like, "You're so dumb. Trump's an idiot. Biden's the best." And now they're going like, my job's going to fire me if I don't get this vaccine. But my doctor's saying like, I shouldn't do it. What do I do? And I'm like, I'm like, "You're coming to me for advice now? Yeah. Wow. I'm impressed."
Why don't you ask Joe Biden? Why don't you ask him? Ask him what he thinks.
Joe Biden is gloating that I'm losing my job. Well, bend the knee, bro. You wanted it. But Trump is the fascist. Oh, I remember when Trump deployed the military to deal with Antifa rioters burning down buildings and killing people. Oh, wait, he didn't do that. Yeah. I will say, though, it was, was it Bill Barr who went and killed that Antifa guy?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? The guy who shot Aaron Danielson. Barr dispatched feds, and they went and found the guy, and he was in his car, and they said a shootout happened, and they killed him.
Hey, Lydia.
Yes.
You sent me a link.
I
earlier,
did, yeah. Uh-huh.
Do you want to talk about that real quick?
Which one is that?
Wisconsin, Kenosha.
Let's see. Oh,
Wisconsin.
Right. Yeah. So we were talking a little bit about Wisconsin. So one of the things that has come up is that Kyle I don't want to get us in trouble, but Kyle Rittenhouse's lawyers have talked about how he was shouldn't have been in trouble because he was following some of the hunting protocols there in Wisconsin.
Oh.
Yeah, so he was allowed to carry a gun, and everyone's like, oh, you know, humans aren't animals, and it's like,
well, it doesn't matter. But well, also, Blake.
Yes, let me pull the story real quick. Yeah. We have this from NBC News. Hunting laws allowed Kyle Rittenhouse to carry weapon during fatal shootings in Wisconsin, lawyers say. I mean, that's the gist of it.
Lawyers say.
Well, you know, sure, right. But I'm pretty sure they're correct. Because we've gone over this numerous times about the statutes and whether you're allowed to carry open or not. And he didn't have a handgun. He had a long gun, which typically are regulated less. And so I'm pretty sure we had someone come out. I was like, no, here's the statute. Here's the law. And they were like, he was allowed to carry the weapon.
See, I think that they – I think eventually they're going to have a – this I think they're going to end up trying to throw it out. I think that, yeah. I think afterwards there's probably going to be like Merrick Garland will probably come out and say we need to have an investigation like they did with Michael Brown, and then they'll do it and they won't be able to do anything about it.
So initially I was saying I thought Rittenhouse would get life, but then the judge seems to have come out very much like F off to the BS media when they were like he did the okay hand gesture, a white power hand gesture, and the judge was like, what are you talking about? That's not true. He's like, I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
Are you lying to me? And then they were like, oh, but the ADL says, and he was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. That's ridiculous. Yeah, so then the people were like, whoa, this judge is like not having it. But you're right. I think what'll happen is now I'm kind of leaning towards Kyle might actually win, and then Merrick Garland comes in with a sledgehammer.
Yeah. Well, what the link that Lydia sent me earlier was that the Department of Justice isn't going to charge the police officer that shot Jacob Blake.
Right.
As they there should never be a charge.
Jacob Blake is the rapist, correct?
Yes. No, he's the hero. Remember that? You know,
same thing.
Biden, he's the guy who sexually assaulted women in their bed, and
Biden and Harris basically said he was the hero.
He's the guy who sexually assaulted that woman in her bed.
Yeah.
And then when the cop tried to stop him from escaping and kidnapping some children, he grabbed a knife, and then the cop shot him. That's who we're talking about, right?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
The hero.
The hero, yes.
I remember a bunch of NFL players put they put the stickers saying they supported rape on their helmets.
Yikes.
Oh my God.
It's true. Technically.
I mean, they did, technically.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
But the Department of Justice, they know. And he even, and I think the big thing was he was on, it was either Robin Roberts or Gail King. He basically said, well, yeah, I had a knife. And you're just like,
that's it.
Case closed,
yeah,
sir.
That's it then.
Yeah, I don't know who these players are, but here's a guy, and he is throwing the ball, and he has a sticker on his helmet that says he supports rape.
That's great.
And then here's another guy. I don't know, these quarterbacks, sticker on their helmets expressing their support for rape. Oh, all of these guys.
Wow.
What team is that?
New Orleans.
This one?
No,
New Orleans?
That's
the New Orleans rapists?
Yeah. I guess. they,
it's like, I don't know anything about football, to be honest, but, you know, a bunch of players came out in support of rape.
Good for them.
Yeah.
I guess.
And look, you know, you can come to me and tell me, but Tim, surely you must understand they didn't know that. And I'll be like, so you mean to tell me these guys didn't know anything about what happened in Wisconsin with Jacob Blake, and they're supporting him anyway? I'm sorry. Mm. I'm sorry. I'm not going to make that assumption because that makes too much of an assumption. I'm going to go ahead and say they're supporting Jacob Blake because they know the story, which means they support rape.
And I'm sure that the same thing happened with the WNBA, too. Didn't they have, like, little, you know, like, probably Jacob Blake stickers on there? Under $5 uniforms.
I really feel like all of them just heard the story of this poor persecuted black man.
Oh, yeah, they did. Yeah,
my gosh.
The WNBA created a shirt with bullets in it in support of rape.
Good for them.
That's
good
great.
For them.
Good for them.
I mean, in support of a rapist. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
You're right. It was sexual assault. He sexually assaulted that woman.
Potato.
Right. We got to be clear on this because these are the people that come out and claim that they fight for women, that they fight for women's rights, and all of these individuals are calling Kyle Rittenhouse, a kid who worked at the Y, a terrorist for trying to defend his community after a 70-year-old man was bashed over the back of the head and left bloody and bleeding on the ground by a bunch of rioters. And the reason they attacked him was because he put a fire out in a dumpster. They were pushing towards a gas station. We've had, what, 4 or 5 witnesses come on with the show with video evidence proving that was the case.
Yeah.
And then he fled when they attacked him. Jacob Blake went into a woman's home and assaulted her sexually and then tried kidnapping her children. And they wear his name and call Kyle Rittenhouse the terrorist.
Malcolm X once said, "The media is the most powerful entity on earth. They have the power to make the innocent guilty and to make the guilty innocent, and that's power because they control the minds of the masses."
He's correct.
All right, what would you rather? What would you rather have to endure? All right.
Uh-oh.
having to attend every single game, season, you know, having like season tickets to your favorite WNBA team.
Oh, no.
Or 4 more years of Joe Biden.
Oh. No, I don't know.
Wow.
Bring him Biden.
Hold on.
I know it's tough.
Guys,
it's tough.
Hold on. Listen.
Wait.
I can take one for the team.
What?
I can take one for America.
What do you think?
Me having to endure WNBA games means no one else has to endure Joe Biden.
Yes.
See,
okay.
4 more years of Joe Biden affects everyone. Having to go to a WNBA game just affects me.
That's true.
And I can be that hero, the hero that we need.
So you support Kamala Harris to be president of the United States? Is that what
you're saying? Who said that?
Who else is going to be president if it's not Biden?
Well, that's not the point. You didn't say who the president was going to be.
Oprah. I don't think it matters. I'll take Biden as president.
But how do they? How do they?
But
hold on. How do they stop Joe Biden from running?
They can't. He never ran in the first place. I don't think he's there. I think he's, like, literally.
He's in a digital soundstage across the street.
Here's
from the White House. What's happening?
They might be using holograms at this point. I'm not even beyond that.
I seem to recall that on this very amazing live stream, back in the day, within the past year, I said that if Joe Biden's elected, that you'll never see him again. Oh, I was so wrong. Mm-hmm. I was so wrong. Because I thought, well, there's no way. He's gonna be, you know, broadcasting maybe like once a month out of a bunker, right? He's on TV. He's doing events Monday through Friday, like on the regular. And it's almost like they're trying to prove, like his staff are trying to prove that he's like still alive. You know, it, like they're just like, no,
what's,
see, he's standing in front of the camera,
up with
guys.
The sound stage.
Yeah, that's weird. That's
okay.
So weird.
Philip Wegman, who's one of the correspondents from, you know, he's from Real Clear Politics. Mm. He basically said that the seating in that auditorium is more comfortable, basically.
Oh, please.
But
for who? The media?
Yeah, for the media.
So
right?
The media is running his presidency.
But here's the thing, and. So for those of you who are not following, just to clarify, the White House across the street, they built a fake set for Joe Biden. It's bright. It's TV lit. There's all these windows. They're not windows.
They're TVs.
But there's flat screens behind them. Right.
To make it look like there's windows.
And it says, I mean, but it looks fake. It doesn't look like the White House, right? But it's
like a theater stage.
It's like a theater, exactly.
And it's perfect representation of exactly how politics is theater.
Right. It's, you know.
It's all a show.
It's just like, right, exactly. So what they do, they made the set, and the last time that they had an event, it was about the debt ceiling. And Joe Biden has like a bunch of virtual people he's talking to. First of all, this thing doesn't even need to be televised. It doesn't need to be broadcast anywhere. So boring. Who is watching this? Nobody is watching this in the first place, right? They might get a soundbite out of it for the news, but nobody's like sitting there and glued to their screen and going, man, I gotta see Joe Biden talk about the debt limit for an hour. Like nobody cares, right? But in the window, it showed like that there were flowers in bloom in the Rose Garden, which I don't think in this time of year that they are.
You sure? I thought the word fall was a signal of like the petals emerging to
spring.
Fall.
But people pointed this out and they're like, why did they build a fake White House? And it's like, yeah, exactly. Like, why did they do this? I mean, it is TV ready and it looks fine, I guess. But these events that Biden does in there, like nobody's watching it. people are going to the YouTube channel, clicking thumbs down, and watching TimCast. Like, that's it. They're not watching. They're not sitting there. No, I'm serious. Nobody's watching this stuff. And then Biden, they think that this is, like, good for his image, putting him out every day. And you saw the tape from yesterday where he's reading a bunch of names, and he can't read these names, and he's trying to spell names, and it's just like this is why people think he's incompetent. This is why bring him out like twice a week. Trump didn't do events every single day. He spoke to the press like on the way to the helicopter, right? To the press gaggle. That's it. He didn't, and maybe with COVID, he was out like every day, and then eventually he was just like, I'll let Mike Pence deal with it. He didn't do an event every single day. Joe Biden doesn't need to do that. And he's out there every day, and he just looks. He's just a decrepit, crazy person.
It proves that he's spry. Yeah.
They're trying to say, "Hey, he's alive, guys. Trust me, he's okay." Well, because you know, here's what's going to happen. I guarantee this. Here's what's going to happen. There's going to be a week where you don't see him, and people are going to go, "Is Joe Biden dead?" Like, people are going to be like ridiculously worried. They're like, "Where's Joe Biden? He hasn't done a press thing in a week. Where is he? Is his health okay?" And then
you're going to see him walking from the helicopter with a cane, and he's going to stumble forward, somersault, and spring up and go, "Hey!" He's going to walk over and be like, "You thought I was gone?"
And then he's going to go to Kamala Harris and going, "It was always you. The chocolate factory is yours."
Yes.
He points to the White House.
But they don't have many options, though. I mean, if you really think about it, he can't talk to the press. He can't take a question. He keeps talking about how he's ordered not to talk to the media, not to talk to the press.
I'm
going to
get in trouble.
So what else are they going
to
do?
Hold on. He says this over and over again. I'm going to get in trouble if I talk. I can't talk to the press. He's also not in the White House.
Yeah.
What's going on?
And then they totally ushered the press out. Like somewhere in September. I don't know where it was. I saw it on like the News Junkies channel on YouTube, where he's talking about batteries, right? Like some charging station, and he starts talking about a map, and he just starts kind of going, and then suddenly his press people are like, "Okay, let's go, everybody out. Like he's starting to ramble, and you can't see this now. You're not allowed to see this because the president's going on a thing.
There's a bunch of incidents where they're doing live streams, and then he's like, "Oh, you have a question," and then a camera just cuts off.
Uh-huh. And they did that the other day. They did this in Michigan. First of all, he's out in Michigan, and there's nobody there. There's like 10 people there.
Right.
None of them are masks. It's like Whitmer and I think Debbie Dingell, who was actually wearing a mask for some reason. Nobody's wearing a mask in the audience. Biden comes out with some union guy. Both wearing masks. They're outside, and he's walking out. Then he takes the mask off because he's in front of the camera, right? He does his little speech, and then he starts going to talk to people without a mask, and then the White House feed just quickly shut off, right? And at one point, and this is really funny, he goes, "Most of you in this room," and he's outside, "most of you in this room can tell me where, like, the most dangerous intersection in your town is." You're like, he goes, "In this room, like, whoever wrote that speech forgot that
nobody was there.
That, you know, that it was going to be an outside event."
Right.
You know, because rooms aren't inside. So, And all of his speeches are the same. It's all the copy. It's all copy pasted.
I think.
Come on, man. Look.
Have you seen Stargate SG-1?
No, but I saw the movie.
In the show, and all the good fans will know this reference, when the Tolan are occupied by the Goa'uld because their plasma cannons stop working against their shields. I mean, this is very important information. Basically, it's an episode where you know what the show's about. They have a Stargate. There's a planet that's very highly advanced. They go there, and everyone's acting weird. The government seems to be acting strange. Records seem to be missing. And then it turns out it's because they were secretly invaded, and no one on the planet knew. And then the planet ends up getting destroyed. The point I'm making is something is telling Joe Biden what to do. It's probably aliens.
Are you saying Ron Klain and Jake Sullivan are aliens? Because I'd believe it. Anthony Blinken is an alien?
That proves it.
I mean, that's
proof.
Okay.
As soon as you mention them, I'm like, oh, I'm kidding.
Fair enough.
No, but it's obvious that Joe Biden may be the president in title, but he's something else is happening here.
He's like, not there. He's absolutely not there most of the time. When you talk to him, you could even see it in his eyes. I mean, the guy has two metal stents in his brain to holding back major, what is it, aneurysms?
Robo-Biden.
Yeah.
I think Robo-Biden would be just slightly more competent.
It would be pretty awesome.
Slightly that'd be great, more. Yeah.
I mean, like, it's a Biden who comes out, rips his face off, and it's like a Terminator, and he's like, ask your question.
Okay, fine. I would vote for Robo-Biden. I would.
Me too.
First robot in the White House, sure. fine. I'd do that.
Robo Biden.
That's very diverse.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah.
A first robot president.
No.
I don't know what's going on,
the
man.
The first cis white male robot president.
Yes.
No, he's a Terminator. First Terminator president.
The first Terminator, yeah. I love
Ask your question, human.
Do you think I have a question about the Foreign Policy United. When you fired all of our nuclear arsenal at China and Russia, wiping them off the planet, do you think that's going to cost the taxpayers?
Like resistance is futile.
Yes.
This quote from Stargate SJ-1.
Yes.
Yep. We're under an alien occupation. That proves it.
We're screwed.
No, look, in all seriousness, no. In all seriousness,
Joe Biden's not a robot. That's what Tim's trying to say.
No, I'm saying that he is the corporeal form they wished for in order to defeat Trump. The media ran, and now he's clearly not in charge. I know it's kind of like maybe beating a dead horse to say, but
he's not in charge of his own capacity.
But we need to ask who is then, and why? If he's not in the White House, who is?
The multinational corporate billionaire class, like they always have been, and they always have had their agenda pushed through.
Bill Gates and Elon Musk. No, Jeff Bezos are in the Oval Office, and they're mucking up the place.
It's Obama. It goes as high as Obama.
Yeah,
and then Susan Rice, Ron Klain, Blinken, Sullivan. And then Pelosi.
Obama even previously talked about, I forgot exact what source, I think he was talking to a late night TV host,
yeah,
where he talked about how he wished he could do the whole thing again, but he wouldn't be the front person, that he could be the person behind the scenes.
Yeah, saying
Obama,
third term.
Obama's yes. Purposefully tanking the country?
No, but he's pushing the agenda, which clearly don't help out the middle class, clearly don't help out the poor, clearly pushes a direct agenda that is counter the American people, counter American culture, and is pushing this larger kind of horrible policies that they always wished that they wanted to push and approve, but never had the gall to do it. So if you really do think about it that way, as far as the kind of sinister motives to blame an old senile geriatrics guy for doing all this, this is the perfect situation to do it.
But here's the thing that gets me. All of these policies, everything is failing. Everything.
It's not failing. It's benefiting a lot of people and hurting everyone else. It's benefiting his inner circle. It's benefiting the special interest. It's benefiting the military-industrial complex. It's benefiting the people who have the most to gain here, and while everyone else is clearly losing. So I don't think it's done by accident. I think the reason there's more people who died of COVID this year than all of last year combined.
Right.
This year we have more intervention than we ever had, more government than we ever had. I don't think that's an accident. That's my own personal opinion. My own personal perspective from how I've been seeing politics for the last 15 years. It's always completely backwards. Yeah. It's always counterintuitive, and it never works to help out the middle average American. Never.
I just want a Robo Biden 2024 t-shirt.
That sounds good.
Yeah, that'd be cool, right?
Yeah, I like that.
We should make that. Robo Biden.
Yes.
And it'll just be like a Biden, but half his face is like Terminator face. And his metal teeth.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to think about that. Would it be like that Biden-Harris font and everything and, say...
No, it's going to be cool. Because Robo Biden is brutal. Robo Biden is not Biden.
All right, fine. Then who would Robo Biden's vice presidential pick be?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Because it can't be Robo Harris.
No.
I mean, she's a robot, but not like the good robot.
Right.
I don't know.
She's got the bug with the laugh.
Generic lizard person?
Yeah.
Robo Biden lizard person 2024?
Asteroid.
Asteroid.
Yes.
Robo Biden riding the asteroid towards the Earth?
Yes.
Hey, speaking of asteroid, by the way, has nothing to do with my merch. I heard that there was some kind of asteroid that potentially had minerals on it, like gold and stuff that could actually be mined, and then basically whatever country goes and claims it and mines it, basically they could just say, hey, that's paid off, you know, with all these minerals and everything that's on this thing.
I think
you guys heard about that in the chat. I was thinking about it earlier on the plane where I had nothing to do and no internet. And I was thinking that would just kind of be like a godsend where you could just say, hey, you know, let's, instead of minting a trillion dollar coin.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, you're talking about the $1 trillion coin.
No, well, but instead you could be like, hey, look what we did. We sent Bruce Willis and Ben Affleck up to, mine this asteroid and are they saying anything, Luke?
I would get in trouble if I would read half of the comments that people are commenting.
You're a liar.
I love the comment section. I love the comment section. It's some of the most. I might not even have to be able to show this because I might be getting you guys in trouble. But I like reading the comments. I enjoy it very much. And you guys are extremely entertaining, very fun. Even when you bust my chops, I appreciate it very much.
I don't remember when I bought. So I owe Andrew $7 for when he lent me money for Subway. I just paid him back.
Oh snap!
How so? I don't get it.
He did.
He paid me back in 1 trillion Timcast bucks.
Wonderful. You're rich, Andrew. Good news.
I'm rich beyond our wildest dreams.
While we were here, we're going to auction that off, by the way. While we were here, I formed the Timcast Federal Reserve.
Oh, cool.
You know, and
good
so,
to know.
You know, we just did some quantitative.
Who's your treasury secretary?
Me.
It's him. Yeah.
Yeah, but you're paid back. So,
thank you.
There you go. Where does
Dogecoin to the moon?
Yes.
Do you think that
Tim Bucks?
Do you think that the country is going to break apart, fall apart into a million pieces? And
I hope so.
Wow, really? Do you really hope so?
I'm so tired.
Same.
Well, you know, the Civil War. Sure, I think that's coming.
that was like the most like assertive we've heard people talk about it.
Yeah.
Oh no. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
But
sure.
But I don't think the country's going to break apart into 50 pieces, you know, 50. I don't
imagine
see
the country of Delaware. They would be like, we have no food. We have crabs.
Huh.
It's Delaware's microscopic.
We got Joe Biden.
All of these.
Biden's their biggest commodity.
Here's the thing about the union breaking apart. It is going to be the Northeast that suffers the most because the states are so tiny. I mean, New Hampshire people are going to be like, we good. But Delaware? Delaware's in trouble. Delaware's like 1/4 of an existing state. You know, there's a state and it's like Delaware's like a little piece cut off.
Well, the only, and I don't even know if it applies so much anymore, but it's all these companies are incorporated there, right? All these financial companies, right? But a lot of them are also moving to, I believe it's South Dakota or North Dakota.
Really?
It's somewhere else in the middle of the country. And it's almost like Delaware had that niche for a long time, and then other states were like, hey, let's just rip off Delaware, you know, why not? So.
You know what I was thinking, like when it comes to all this chaos and stuff, you gotta look to the people that are leaders, you know, that are influencers in, you know, global governance and corporate, mm-hmm. you know, corporations and do what they do. So, you know, I look at Bill Gates, he's buying up farmland, buying up all the farmland, more farmland than anyone else. And I have to wonder, like, I wonder why he's buying up all the farmland. Might there be something that is to occur that would make his farmland very valuable? All right, well, I'll buy some farmland. You know, I'm not going to be left holding an empty bag. You know what I'm saying?
Are you also making your stock picks, like, you know, are you following that Pelosi
apocalypse
stock picks thing?
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Well, there's entire Pelosi careers stock made on TikTok mm-hmm. of people just following Nancy Pelosi stock picks. They call her the stock market whale. I mean, Nancy Pelosi has, what is it, like over $100 million. A lot of that money came from the stock market that she is supposedly regulating. Yes, but still, there has to be something said about someone being worth over $100 million mm-hmm. and then getting the stock picks so right all the time, coincidentally. And literally, people on TikTok are making their entire careers just copying her moves and saying, you know, this is what you should do in the stock market. So,
well, you know, it's only insider trading when Republicans do it, right? There was the whole big thing with Kelly Loeffler when they were saying, well, she benefited, like everybody benefited
But we have to understand
at the beginning of the pandemic
how crazy this insider trading is. It's not just with Nancy Pelosi. It was right before COVID. Right before COVID, some senators were caught up. Even before 9/11, some senators were caught up in insider trading. Before wars, a lot of senators and congressmen know something's going to happen, and they invest in particular military industrial complex stocks. I mean, there's a lot of shady activity in the stock market.
Well, I know your answer. I'm going to let you answer it, though. But do you think that people in Congress should not be able to do anything in the stock market?
Yeah, of course.
While they're in office.
Yeah, of course.
But what if it's somebody like it's a manager who's doing it and they're not and you can't prove
they'll
that
find another
kind
way
of,
to get somebody else to do it or their grandchildren.
You heard about my political philosophy, Marxism, right? Mm-hmm. So here's how it works. When someone runs for Congress, you know, we do it as we normally do. Everybody runs, they vote, then you'll get your winner. They all make their way to D.C., where then they'll board a special a series of private planes down to Florida, where we get them onto a rocket ship that goes to Mars.
Yes.
I like that again.
That's it.
That's it.
That's all. Yeah, they go to Mars.
That's it. That's where the plan ends.
That's
I'm behind that.
Great plan. Great plan. Solid.
I like
that. That's it. Nothing else. They're just gone. Yeah. Oh, but I also did say, like, you know, we thought
was going somewhere.
No.
To Mars.
Mars, quite, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. To Mars.
Literally going to Mars, Andrew. Yeah. Shut
goodbye,
the
politician. No, but I can't remember who we had on the show, but then someone brought up an interesting point, and they were like, it would be interesting how they would legislate from things they would never benefit from. Like, actually going to Mars, they would have no opportunity to benefit from any of the policies they enact or any insider trading or anything like that. They'd literally have to just, I don't know, either be the Joker or Batman.
Are we talking about Batman? No, okay.
What if our elected leaders were just, you know, isolated underground and they could never come out and they'd wear jumpsuits and it's like you had to choose to do something, you know, very serious. No more insider training, no more bribes, none of the worries, no more salary increases. If you want to serve the public, you are stripped of all your access other than doing your job.
But a big problem with getting politicians to divest from all of their holdings is that comes into question. You know, are they selling this off at this price because
next of kin
of corruption or because you know, that's one of the reasons why Trump couldn't just get rid of all of his assets when he became president.
Right.
He was basically like, well, I'd be investigated forever because they would look at every single thing and go, Trump sold this building for this price because.
Right.
Right. Oh, well, you know, Trump isn't on the top 400 Forbes people. And like, who cares?
Wait, no, he is.
I think in this year, like he was like, he's off that list or something.
Really?
Yeah. And it's like because his whole he didn't become president to get rich.
Yeah, no, he lost a lot.
He lost he was huge. Rap,
he sacrificed everything.
When was the last time a rapper rapped about him other than and maybe Lil Wayne? You know?
In a good way.
Yeah, in a good way. Yeah. So anyway. Oh, hey, here's a question. Here's a weird question. Speaking of presidents, of all the guests that you've had on this live stream, and not including us because that's just cheating. And this goes for you, chat. Who would you like to see run for president out of all of the guests that you've ever had on this?
Oh, me? Alex Jones. I just would love the entertainment value of it, you know? We've had.
Yes.
Could you imagine?
I could not imagine.
Alex Jones runs as a Republican, wins the primary, is put in the debate against some Democrat.
Yes. Yes.
It's like Trump times 10. It's like Trump times 10. When Trump was like, only Rosie O'Donnell, Alex would be like, listen to me, people. You got these people, these lizards, these dirty interdimensional beings. It would be amazing.
That'd be great.
Do you concur?
I entirely concur. I think that Alex Jones should run for every conceivable office.
Fine.
Honestly.
Fine. Yes. Alex Jones for president.
That's right.
You know, I gotta say this. I gotta say this.
And Nick's looks like it doesn't matter who's president. It doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter. They'll be taken over by the globalists. That's fine.
Alex Jones. was right about so much that no one believed him.
So much.
Every time we've had him on, he says something. We go, that's not true. He was on. And like we're talking about like the Democrats in Congress are proposing a new bill. And then Alex goes, George Washington wrote a letter about the Illuminati saying that Thomas Jefferson was in charge. And I was like, wait, what? What are we even talking? And then he was like, Google it. And I was like, okay. And I did. And from the Library of Congress.
Sure enough.
George Washington's letter condemning the Illuminati. And I'm like, oh, geez.
He's right again.
It's like, what if the only true religion was Alex Jones's worldview and we were all wrong?
I'm scared.
Imagine what all that power would do to his head. Holy cow. I would say, I mean, a lot of people in the comment section are saying Alex. A lot of people are also saying Dave Smith, since, yes, you know, he is running for president.
Michael Malice, press secretary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I would say Dave Smith.
That's
personally
good. That's good.
But we've always I don't think he's announced, but we always knew that he was a contender, that he might run. So that one's a little too obvious, you know?
Yeah, but like all that power, all that authority.
It goes back to that Star Wars reference. Alex Jones in the floor going, unlimited power! Yes.
Unlimited power!
And he's firing, you know, lasers.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Just imagine them if he ran as a Republican, made it to the debates, he would poll really high.
Yeah,
he absolutely would poll really high. He'd poll enough to get into the Republican primary debates, and he'd be going off on everybody there. It would be amazing.
Maybe that's why they had to cancel him. Maybe the CIA predictive programming actually foretold the future where he would have got into politics, ran, and then who knows what kind of calamity would have happened. And they were like, we need to stop this at all costs. Ban him now, immediately.
It's January 20th, 2025, sorry. And Alex Jones was just officially sworn in. Then as soon as he is, he just turns around, walks inside the Capitol building, walks out with like a lizard guy, and he's like... I resign. I'm done.
Like I did what I was to do.
Yeah, I just need to get it in the building. Here he is. He pulls a mask off of, you know, Obama or something.
No. What he does,
Pelosi.
Pelosi
looks like she has a mask on.
He pardons, what's his name?
Snowden.
He pardons Snowden.
Assange.
He orders the distribution of sunglasses that allow everyone to see Pelosi's true face.
Oh,
Pelosi
I
looks
got
like
it,
she's
I got
wearing
it.
A mask. Like, that's not even a joke.
Haven't you seen the G Prime 85 art? Oh, let me pull it up.
He pulls out all the supplements and he says, hey, everybody gets,
I did not see it.
Everybody gets the supplements.
That sounds right.
All right, here you go.
I hope you have stuff to use later. For
sure. No worries.
Here you go. We got to shout out George Alexopoulos.
This is good.
It's Nancy, oh, yes.
Nancy Pelosi says, it was a setup. I was wearing my mask. The same mask I'm wearing now. And then she rips her face off and she's an alien.
Yeah. I reached out to him a few months ago because I want him to do some artwork for me. And he's like, yeah, sure. You know, and he gave me a price. I have no idea what, like, I want him to do something with my image in like a cool way.
With your image?
But I just don't know like what to ask for. Like I'm just not that creative, I guess, when it comes to those.
He made one of me getting abducted by aliens.
But he is super talented.
He is great.
Yeah, oh, I really like his stuff.
We're going to be rotating my favorite one from him, I think, is Joe Biden at a podium. And he says, it is estimated by the time I finish this speech, 200 million people will die. And that time is now. And then he fires lightning bolts that vaporizes the crowd. That's just one of the best. The crowd's
that's
like,
amazing.
They're like, their heads are being blown back and they're, you know, their skulls are showing. They're being vaporized by Biden. It's brilliant.
Yeah. It's really cool to see these in the background of the studio.
Yeah. The I'm afraid you're not black. That's the first one I ever saw from
that
from
one's
him.
So great.
He's great. I mean, we should have him back on. I never was at the house when he was on. He seems like I would.
And also Seamus too.
Yeah. Of course.
Seamus is just here.
Too, yeah.
So we in the vlog, the Cast Castle vlog, we did this bit where we say like Seamus is the greatest rollerblader, but it's very obviously not Seamus rollerblading. We just had him like,
what? No way.
Yeah. But it's funny because like, you know, we had him. So I had an idea and I was like, Seamus is a Freedom Tunes for those that aren't familiar. And I was like, I got an idea. Let's have Seamus rollerblade around, but then we'll put Brett, who's like a legit, really good blader, in Seamus's clothes, but he'll wear a helmet so you can't see. And then we'll claim it's Seamus. And then Seamus was like, yeah, but I need a catchphrase to yell when I land stuff. And I was like, no, you got to yell your name. That way people know it's you. So what we did is Seamus was just yelling things. And then Brett is skating, but whenever he lands, he goes, Sheamus! And then like he jumps like, Sheamus! And so now the gag is like, whenever you succeed at something in a sporting event, we yell Sheamus.
You don't yell, let's go, Brandon.
No.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we were skating today, and you know, when someone's trying a hard trick, we go, let's go, Brandon! And then when they land, we're Sheamus!
Yeah, that's great.
It's great. We have so much fun out here. We are lunatics. How about we do this? How about we go to Super Chats?
Yes.
Super Chats.
If you haven't already, smash that like button. Do it for Sheamus! And,
and Brandon.
And yeah. Brandon. There was one Super Chat I saw where they said, Robo Biden / Brandon 2024.
Yes.
And I was like, yes.
Yeah.
That sounds okay. Let's go, right? Brandon. All right. Let's see. Doobie McNasty. Smash the like button. Become a member at timcast.com. You get it. Doobie McNasty says, Tim, you got to watch Alex Jones versus Tim Pool. I've heard good things about it. Have you seen it?
No.
So you know that there's editors that make these podcast mashups. Sure. Apparently there's a really funny one where Alex Jones is, I don't know what it's about. Do you know? Have you seen it, Luke?
No.
I don't know what it's about, but it's apparently really funny.
Like, I've seen the Joe Rogan versus Joe Rogan stuff.
There's one earlier where it's like me, Michael Malice, and Alex Jones, and we like all love each other or something. It's just, they're really funny. But there's like a new one, I guess, so. All right, let's see.
I like Michael, by the way.
Oh, he's fantastic.
I'm telling you, the time that him and Alex were on, that was just brilliant. And Michael really can hold his own with Alex, which is very hard to do. Very hard to do.
Absolutely.
Not even Tim can do it.
Challenging, okay? It's hard.
All right, let's see. Group B says, Tim, I watched your video about the economy halt due to the pandemic. Is this what was referenced last year when Trump says this is how economies die? It's like you're stuck between a rock and a hard place.
I will defer to you, Luke.
I'm deferring back to you.
Yeah. Mother.
Great.
Well, Trump and if Trump and Alex Jones have anything in common, is it that they're always right? Thank you.
Let's see. Darko Vukovic says, tell Ian I work for Google and I heard him. We have a group of 324 who have signed an open letter against the vaccine mandate growing daily. Google HR claims they are working on a religious exemption. TBD. Love the show. Hey, glad to hear it, man.
Good.
All right. Let's see. Royal Wolf says it's finally happened. Tim has merged with the wall. Actually, this is a navy blue t-shirt, and that is a black backdrop.
Close.
We got to show you the new studio, though, because you got here late. You didn't see it.
I heard. I did not get the new tour.
Yeah.
So we were planning on having it done over the past weekend, but they had to do – we were like, we got to clean. We had to do like a steam cleaning because and polishing the walls and everything. We had to do it, which meant we had to delay setting up of the equipment and everything. And then I was like, we're not going to be able to do a good day of testing throughout the week because we're so busy. So it's slowly getting done, and it's amazing. The cameras are all mounted on the walls.
Oh,
the table is way bigger. There's a booze section with substantially more booze. We're getting a couch set up. We have more cameras. We have a PTZ camera in there that can move anywhere and point to anything in the room.
So you're basically turning into Crowder Show.
But better.
We're a bunch of cameras. No, I'm kidding.
We're not going to do...
But you have the couch and stuff, yeah.
Well, we're going to have a couch, and it's because right now we have beanbags. And when people have guests come by, they're just like sitting on the bag. So we're going to have an actual couch.
Like yesterday with James O'Keefe. What was his friend's name? Nick?
Oh, he had a whole crew here.
Whole crew.
Yeah. Oh, because he kept pointing off camera.
Yeah, Eric.
I kept thinking it would be great if there were...
So we're going to have
mics and stuff for them,
right.
too.
Yes. So we're going to have extra mics, cameras.
That's great.
And we're going to have a performance area for music. And then a PTZ camera is a pan tilt zoom. Mm-hmm. And that means we're going to have a wide shot. We used to have a wide shot. We don't anymore. Mm-hmm. We do. The UFO is back.
Yes.
We have the UFO again.
So good.
I've had the UFO for a long time. It's just been sitting. We don't have anywhere to put it here.
Right.
And with the wide shot and the PTZ, we can actually have the PTZ preset to zoom in on the UFO.
That's great.
Yeah. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
It's a slightly bigger room, and it also has a bathroom in it, which we are soundproofing.
Yes.
Oh, but then you're missing out on the whole married with children thing.
Oh, like that's true. That's true.
I know.
You know.
I'm missing out.
That's too bad. Missed opportunity. I'm sorry.
All right, let's see. Roberto Lara says, Tim, quit lying. You have Ian on Bear Patrol, alone and naked, holding a shroom voiced by Alex Jones, holding a staff yelling, let's end the Fed.
How did they know?
Did you see the animation we did about Ian and Alex Jones?
Did I?
It's no, I quite guess possibly I one of the funniest things. So,
so good.
In the Cast Castle vlog, Kent does the animations, And one of the episodes, I can't remember which one it was. I don't remember which one it was. But it's Ian, and he like finds, it's a cartoon of Ian finding a mushroom, and the mushroom is Alex Jones, who's just screaming, and then like saying weird Alex Jones stuff. And then Ian's all excited. It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. It's amazing. Yeah. All right. Let's see what we got here. One Shot Killa says, University of Washington Medical just came out and said they will not do organ transplants unless you have the jab, even if you have a sincerely held religious belief.
Yep.
Wow.
Then same don't go there.
Yeah.
That's it. You know.
There's not a lot of organs available. This is not China. So this is absolute cruelty and evil, in my opinion.
I mean, that's evil. They're making it political.
Yeah.
The CDC has even admitted that they think that there's over 100 million people that have been infected with COVID. So that's a lot of natural immunity. And I'm not saying don't take the vaccine. It's your choice. You should, if you want to take it, it's going to help you if you have underlying conditions. Well, that's what they say. But you shouldn't have to take it. It's
no one's business but yours.
And the same
this is the issue I take with like anybody arguing efficacy and stuff like this. I don't care. Like, I don't want to hear about someone taking Preparation H. It's your business, not mine. If you've got medical conditions going on, bro, you don't got to tell me about it unless like you're sick and I don't want to get sick. You know what I mean? Like, go to a doctor. Don't come to me with that stuff, and I'm not going to tell you what to do.
I hate that it's so political, and it shouldn't be political. It should just be – and they were talking about, oh, we need to get to, you know, like 70%, and then it went to 75%, then it was 80%. Now it's like 98%. And like, no, that's – you will never get to zero COVID. That's a thing that will never happen because there's more countries than us, and where we can't control our borders, clearly.
I got to read this one. This is really important. Seth Shoemake says, Tim, are you subconsciously competing with Luke? Since he's been back, you've eschewed the button up and are showing off the guns.
It's true.
And you've got him lit like Pinhead from Hellraiser tonight.
Thank you.
Love you both. No.
I've been fighting for my life. Listen to this.
We have all of these lights. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 that have been set since the beginning of the show, and Luke comes in and starts changing them all and makes himself look awful. Keep telling him, I keep saying, I'm like, Luke, stop, you're making yourself look worse. And he's like, no, I want it this way because I got to look better. And then he zooms the camera out so it makes his face look really big and his body looks small. And then he turns.
You're more zoomed out than I am zoomed out. We have huge arguments about
this. The light over here, he blasts ultra, and his face.
No, that's because I was there with where Ian was yesterday. I didn't even touch the lights today.
You were
partly, I don't care. But was the light better at the beginning of the broadcast or midway? Let me know right now.
But James O'Keefe was sitting where you are yesterday, and he looked fine.
I didn't change nothing.
I had to get up.
What are you trying to say there?
Mid-show just now and fix the light because Luke was fiddling with everything.
Mm-hmm. I fixed it, and everyone in the comment section is saying Luke is lit.
Okay.
Everyone's saying Luke is lit.
Wow.
Okay.
All
right, let's see. Sergeant Amos says, hey, folks, do you think you could get a Republican senator on the show? And if so, who would you like to have on?
Well,
I'll tell you this right now. Let me say something. I have reached out to Lauren Boebert, who said, yes, I'd love to come on the show.
I was actually thinking on the plane when I was sitting there doing nothing, I was actually thinking that she would be amazing on this.
True.
Yeah.
Dan Crenshaw also. Eh. Now, the problem is... Dan said he was unable to, just because it's like really difficult in his schedule.
Everyone's
to like
busy.
Come out for an hour. Mm-hmm. And he's like, but we'll maybe figure something out. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. No pressure. I get it. Lauren just said, contact my, you know, this person and we'll take care of it. And then they just ignore me. And then it's been this way for, I can't list off every single politician we've asked, but we've asked a handful of Republicans who all say the same thing. Yes, absolutely would love to do it. Reach out to this person. I think Matt Gaetz too.
Yeah.
They were like, yes, contact my person who will take care of it all. And then they should ignore you.
Yep.
So it's like basically they say yes, but they really mean no. So I'll tell you the other thing. 99% of the politicians we've had, which hasn't been that many, it's just like politicians don't talk. Politicians are very careful. They're very, very careful. It's not as fun. It's not as funny. They don't want to lose any potential vote. So it's just,
But I think that there's definitely some people out there where you wouldn't necessarily have to talk about current events. You wouldn't have to like say, hey, what's in the news today? What do you think, sir? You know, I think that there are some really interesting people that you could have on
but
here.
But I just don't feel it. But like, Sean Parnell has been the best. Because he's an outlier. He's like, he's a regular dude. When he's on the
but
show.
But he's a congressperson.
Well, he's running for Senate.
But yeah, but isn't he?
He's running for
I'm sorry. I'm thinking of somebody else. No, yeah. Like, I think that you could have somebody on here. Like, I would love.
Hold on. Dave Smith and the Libertarian guys are like legit. The Mises guys are like, I'll say exactly.
Like,
what
I'm sure, like, Massey would come and talk to you.
The problem is, it's like almost a waste of energy to try and even talk to them in the first place.
It's hard.
Because I tell you this, it is, when we reach out to anybody else, they're usually like, hey, sorry, I can't do it, but I'll let you know if the dates open up. We're talking to a handful of people, some high profile people, and they're like, look, we're really busy, but let's try and figure this out. Politicians are always, absolutely, here's the email from my assistant, email them and we'll get it done. And then they just don't respond. Or they respond and say, how are these dates? And they bounce you around and then eventually just disappear. Just like, I'm like, dude, not only that, you gotta be, I don't know, man. I'm wary about any of these politicians. I don't care if they're a Republican or otherwise, because you know that you may end up getting canned opinions.
They're gonna protect their reputation.
And they don't wanna, and probably the reason they don't wanna come on the show is they know that I might say something like, hey, X just happened in the news. What do you think? And they go, uh-oh. Like, can they handle a 2-hour conversation where they have to be, like, open and honest with, like, This is not a one sentence question and then you leave.
Yeah.
This is 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And that means you're either going to say nothing or you're going to answer questions and talk about how you feel about it.
And that's why I think somebody like Lauren Boebert would just be perfect, because she's outspoken. She's smart too. She's not. And actually, you know who else I saw? I watched that Tucker Carlson, Marjorie Taylor Greene interview, when on Fox Nation.
Nice.
She's not a lunatic. She's a very smart woman. And she came across as very reasonable and not a lunatic. And I was just like, why can't we see this? You know, like, yeah. you have to be subscribed to Fox Nation, I guess. But she's smart. But then she says something crazy anyway. And you're just like, oh, what are you doing? Like, don't go there. Like, you need to just kind of dial it back a little bit. But, I would love to interview Chuck Grassley, by the way. I think he'd have a bajillion great stories, especially like the stuff during, the Kavanaugh hearings and Justice Clarence Thomas, because he's featured in that documentary. Yeah. I think just talking about stuff like Chuck Grassley, he's smart. And they're like, he's old. He's going to run for Senate again. Like, yeah, he runs like 3 miles a day.
Yeah, but we just need to get rid of incumbents, man.
But he's not Dianne Feinstein. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, he's actually still, he has more brain cells left.
We just
than,
need
say,
young
Biden.
Young energy, you know. But I don't care about the Republicans, to be honest, because what have they ever done? You know,
Luke's rubbing off on you.
Let's read some more. We got Pims the Great says Newport News Shipbuilding is about to lose 50% of its workers over the mandate. Y'all need a shipbuilder? Wow, that's crazy. But I briefly lived in Newport News, like only a couple months. Yeah, there's a military base there.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah. Newport News. Good fun. That was a long time ago.
Is there an Andrew-centric super chat in there? Somebody quick.
Andrew-centric?
Oh, we'll see.
We got a member. Dilly Dilly says, if only Candace Owens would banish Biden to California like Lady Galadriel in The Hobbit. Yes, excellent. But we're not doing fantasy references. We've been doing sci-fi the whole time.
Yeah. Wrong show, jerk. Yeah. Yeah,
come on,
he's
man.
So dumb. I mean, right? It's like Stargate. God, come on.
Lord of the Rings.
No, we're big Lord of the Rings
nerd
fans. Big Lord of the Rings fans. All right, let's see. Thomas Stankovic says, you said, wouldn't it be awesome to see a press secretary Mike Malice? As if y'all ain't going to be co-workers. Can't fight destiny forever, baby. Oh, yeah. Dave's just the president.
Yeah.
I think we would help. I think we would
volunteer. Oh, definitely, definitely. Like, to the extent that we could, I'd definitely love to, But Michael Malice as the press secretary would be like taking a gigantic bucket of ice water and splashing people in the face with it who are all not paying attention. I think it'd be fantastic.
Hey, speaking of coworkers, just want to say hi to Cassandra Fairbanks.
Oh,
she's fantastic.
She's awesome with her new monkey. She's had her for
yes.
like six so weeks cute. Now. And speaking of monkeys, Lauren Chen's going to have a little baby girl. Monkey to play with.
You're like, she's buying a monkey too?
Oh, yeah. So not a real monkey. No, congratulations to Lauren Chen.
Michael Malice will be able to craft responses in such a way that it makes it very difficult for the media to try and stop reporting on something. You know, unless they just literally don't report what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I think his understanding of like linguistics and manipulation he'd make it very, very difficult for them to pull things out of context. And then you'd get weird stories where the regular, you know, public might be like, what? I think it'll be fantastic. Plus he'd be insulting them to varying degrees. So that's good. All right. Let's see what we got. Let's read some more. Just Jenny says, I love Andrew. I'm so glad he's back on the show. No,
finally.
No, yeah. Andrew, we poo-poo? I don't know, man. I tried.
She tried.
To be fair, Lydia's been asking me, you know, if I could come to the show.
I've been pestering you regularly.
And she has been pestering me. And, of course, I come the day where my flight's totally screwed over. But to be fair, I have been busy, and I've been slowly building my presence in Florida. So lots of furniture to build, stuff like that. So awesome. I've been, you know, just now that I only have like one or two more things to do.
We got a question for
here.
You.
Come up here.
Storm Viking says, hello, don't walk, run.
Hello.
I was wondering what part of Florida you moved to. Also, are you hiring for your show or in need of a Florida guide? Thank you.
I am not hiring. I am a one-man band because I don't – come on. I'm a conservative – well, not, I'm not really conservative, but I'm a conservative YouTuber. So good luck. I don't make a lot of money. But definitely not enough to hire people. And I'm probably just going to keep my – area, you know, Florida. How's that? But I will say that I passed the background check, and I'm really excited.
Ooh, wonderful.
Really excited.
Very good.
Yeah.
All right. I just got a
2A, people. 2A.
Yes.
Well, you can do it.
I bought the
Biden takes it away.
Calico M100S, which is a 100 round. What is it called? It's Helix.
Yeah.
Helix.
It's not a drum mag. Yeah, it's a Helix. It's something else. Yeah.
Really?
Holds 122 rounds. Probably going to jam a lot, I'd imagine. And it's like a weird looking sci-fi gun, you know, but it's like.
Sure.
I can't wait to take it to the range.
You got
to
find the right 22s to make sure that right. Shoots well. Do you have a first firearm? Or do you have one that you're looking for? Or?
No, I have two firearms.
Very cool.
Do you care to say which
ones
you like?
I went and I said I want all the guns.
Okay.
I bought an HKP 30.
Okay.
Very cool gun. It's like it's not even I had no idea what I wanted, honestly. And I just said just show me some guns. You know? And then of course I look at the HK and it's such a cool gun, and they're like, well, well, that's the. I said, I think I'll buy it. So they're like, what do you like about it? I'm like, well, it's light, and you know. And they're like, that's the John Wick gun. I'm like, it's not why I'm buying it, but you know, it's a cool gun.
One of my favorites is the first gun I bought was the Governor. Can fire 410 or 45, and firing 410 out of that thing is just hilarious. Luke was at the range with us, and he just loaded up. It was like boom, 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 and it's just like everyone's like. You're shooting shotgun shells out of a revolver, you know? It's
well,
fun.
I brought my guns in the plane. You want to take a look? No, I'm kidding. That's why the plane was delayed. I brought my firearms.
Wow.
Don't even joke about
Good
that.
Good work, Andrew.
All right. F-Man Angry American says, Tim, quarterback Drew Brees, number 9 for the Saints, was forced to support the rapist. He came out against him at first, but peer pressure made him change his mind. Imagine being able to be peer pressured into supporting a rapist.
Can you believe that?
Wow. That guy's got no spine. At least the people who support it have the spine enough to say they do. This guy was like, oh, geez, I guess I should. Wow. Some people, man.
Sad.
Doobie McNasty says, Tim, that description of the Rittenhouse case was phenomenal. You didn't hold anything back. It was like we were in the members-only video. I love all of it. Well, yeah, but, you know, it's just the truth. And if the truth is the truth, it's the truth. We say it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, I saw Rittenhouse was trending, and everyone's like, "He's a terrorist," and they all just lie about what happened.
Please,
everybody lies. They lie about everything.
I know. It's just they live in a swamp. That's what it is. They're just mucking around in human feces.
It's the same people that are like, "Trump's going to jail." Like, yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Trump hasn't been president in.
Right.
It seems like 4 years.
Yeah.
All right, you know. Check this out. Dragon Lady says, "Read your segment earlier, Tim. I work in a grocery store." folks, Tim is right. Stock up on non-perishables. It's crazy how much stuff we can't get in. On a side note, love your stuff, Andrew.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind of you.
There's a rice shortage.
Well,
did you know that?
You know, first of all, I was really excited earlier this year because, you know, for over the 4th of July, we saved 16 cents on our barbecues. And that was a big deal. And I'm like, you know what? It's
beef prices are double.
You know, but 16 cents, Tim, come on.
The local barbecue stop over here in Virginia doesn't sell brisket anymore. They said it's too expensive. They can't sell it.
Wow.
It's too expensive to get.
That's crazy.
So it's like a barbecue place with no brisket? What am I supposed to do? I love brisket. There is a place off the side of the road down in Virginia that has the best brisket I've ever had. It is a huge, thick cut, cooked overnight. Man, it is insanely delicious.
And it only costs $5,000.
$20. $20 for a big cut.
But everything is expensive.
Yeah.
And just traveling around Florida, by the way, you can see why. Because everybody's hiring. Every single place is hiring. And when they're hiring and they're trying to get people, they got to pay them higher wages, whether or not that job is worth that much money. Let's be real. You know, most of these restaurant jobs, not to say that working in a restaurant is bad. Some of my favorite jobs have been working in restaurants, but they're not worth $30 an hour. You know, any job where you can completely train on your own at the restaurant or wherever is not worth that much.
We got a super chat here from Poofy.
Poofy!
Yes.
Sup?
Yes.
She says Robo Biden would just be a Roomba that yells incoherently. it bounces around randomly and then gets stuck in the corner when it falls off the carpet.
Gotta yell at it a lot.
I bought a Roomba, by the way.
How'd that go?
I bought the Roomba and it was over some Black Friday thing, maybe. Mm-hmm. Or no, the Amazon Prime thing. Mm-hmm. I bought the vacuum and I bought the mop because I'm a lazy SOB.
Robo Biden.
Who doesn't want to?
I love it.
And I called it Robo Biden.
Yeah.
Leg, so I just don't know how to pronounce your name, but I'm going to pronounce it however I can. Legama Thigian. It's probably a word. I don't know. Be careful who you mock. Biden is definitely a Goa'uld. Picture his eyes flashing yellow. His voice gets all demonic. He cries out, "Tell Nakjafa Kree." Instantly, the death gliders descend from his pyramid ship and wipe out the cast castle. Or he'll give you a symbiote.
Oh, snap.
Yeah.
He's right.
Well, Biden's dangerous already. I mean, he killed like 7 children the other day. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Blew him up.
He just did it.
Hold on. If he's not blowing up kids, who's going to do it? You know?
Yeah. What? You think Donald Trump's going to do it? Come on. Yeah.
We've got a child problem on this planet. You know? And good heroes like Obama,
overpopulation,
Joe Biden. Jeez. Mm-hmm. You know, Trump did drone strikes as well, and Trump did order commando raids. Now here's the thing I want to clarify.
But did
too.
He kill aid workers?
Well, there was reporting that Donald Trump ordered a commando raid that killed an 8-year-old American girl, the sister of Abdulrahman al-Awlaki. Mm-hmm. However, they say may have and suspected to. Uh-huh. That's very different from Barack Obama's, oops, we killed an American citizen. So I'm wondering if the commando raid actually was the cause. Either way, I'm not a fan of that foreign policy.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
All right, let's see what we got here. Gavin Deeth. Death says Jones Malice 2024. Mm-hmm. Brian Cox says,
I like it.
If not president, can Alex Jones moderate the debates?
Mm. Oh, man. Moderate. No one would speak.
Heath Hansen says, Tim, Alex Jones impression on point. Also, when are you coming to the great state of Iowa? No idea. We're building up the new studio.
That's Chuck Grassley's state.
That's right.
Then we're going to be building up the mobile studio because we want to go to Nashville and Austin, and we want to go to Florida. So we have this mobile, we have an RV. It's a fifth wheel trailer. It's got a kitchen, it's got a bathroom, it's got seats and everything. And we're actually putting cameras and setting it up so we'll be able to do the show on the road. And the idea would be that we go to Nashville, but we pre-line up guests all based in Nashville, which is likely going to be like Daily Wire crew people.
Hopefully.
Then we go to Austin and we basically got everybody. You got, you know, Sydney and Elijah, you've got Alex and his crew, you've got Crowder and everybody.
There's a lot of people.
And then you go to Florida where you got, did Dave Rubin move there yet?
Is he moving to Florida?
Yet. Yeah, not yet.
There's a lot of people in Florida that are very interesting.
But your guest earlier this week.
New Hampshire as well. Yeah. I mean, I do my videos in my RV, and having those fifth wheels is very convenient. There's a lot of room in there, and I've been living in one for over a year.
Yeah, yours is very spacious.
Yeah, I love it. Spacious. Yeah, and it's not even that like brand new. It's very affordable. It's bigger than my apartment in New York City, and I love it.
Yeah, I feel like the one we got is a long one, but Luke's has more interior space for some reason.
Well, it has a lot of slide outs. Yeah. So mine has like three major slide outs that totally transition everything. I know a lot of people want to do the van life stuff, but they don't understand the larger implications. I know YouTube is
like
trying
Brian
to.
Like Brian Landry didn't understand the implications.
Yeah. Just being on the road alone and traveling with people in small spaces is difficult. It definitely tests any kind of relationships you have, but. People don't understand van life that's promoted. That life is pretty hard. RV life is not that easy as well, but a lot easier when you have a big fifth wheel.
Well, I also think it's easier when you have a purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I mean, I love
when
traveling.
You're not just like an influencer, you know, walking around going, hey, we need to take pictures by Grand Canyon, man. You know, like when you're actually like, say we're going to this town to interview people. So you better be going to Florida with your, super van.
That's what
Tim,
I've been trying to.
All right. Just say hello. Yeah.
I got to address this. York says, Tim, if you are truly starting a fact-checking website, will you keep a running tally of Alex Jones versus all mainstream media sources on percentage correct versus retracted? Yes. What I wanted to do is.
Are you doing a fact-checking site?
Yeah. We have two nonprofits we filed the filings are in. We're just waiting for tax exempt status, but the entities exist. It's called this. I didn't come up with
Polita Tim.
Truth and Media Foundation.
Truth
Tim Foundation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I see what you did there.
That's not clever. I didn't. It was someone else who came up with it, not me. Someone who was here, I guess, and we thought it was funny. But the idea is to do fact checking, and what we want to do is it's not so much as fact check, like did Alex Jones get it right? It's here's what Alex Jones was talking about. And then if Alex Jones has something like, they're turning the freaking frogs gay, we'll be like, what we'll do is we'll say, the article in reference that Alex Jones was referring to was about an atrazine pesticide. Here's the article. And then whatever his hyperbole or exaggeration or otherwise, you can just read the articles. So instead of us saying like, he's clearly lying, we'll be like, here's the article he referenced. Read it and draw a conclusion.
And then Alex Jones gets three beanies.
Three beanies. No, what we're going to do is, and we'll do this for InfoWars as any other site, we're going to go through their articles looking for violations of journalistic ethics. And then we're going to randomly sample 100 recent articles. Then we're going to give them a score. Say, you know, this website has 65 out of 100 articles deemed ethical. Here's the spreadsheet showing all the articles we reviewed, the ones we rated as unethical, and the ones we rated as ethical. So false information is unethical, and like failure to correct or opinion pieces or maximizing harm. So if CNN, when they published that factory worker's name saying, here's the guy who posted the meme of Pelosi, we would give that an X and say maximization of harm. And then we would write, CNN had no reason to publish the name and job of an individual who posted a video online to tell the story they needed to tell.
Mm-hmm.
Journalistic ethics standards from SBJ says minimize harm, meaning if you don't have to cause damage to someone's life, don't do it. Then there's also opinions. Most of these articles are opinions. They'll put adjectives in places, and I guarantee you, man, you'll be surprised. CNN will probably get a 10 out of 100 because so many of their articles are going to turn out to be opinion. Like when they frame something in a certain way, that is not factual. When they say experts agree on this, we interviewed so-and-so, X, will be like, citing an opinion from a single expert does not guarantee a fact. We cannot state this is a true. This is an opinion piece based on the opinion. So when you look at a lot of these stories, they'll say, we talked to an opinion who said it can't possibly be that it rained today because the expert at Stanford believes that rain actually, one expert's opinion is an opinion piece,
right,
not a fact piece. So we would put X opinion unlabeled. And then you'll see a lot of these news outlets will be like getting very seriously bad scores. That being said, I don't think InfoWars would do well. I don't think a lot of conservative sites would do well either. Now, what we're focusing on is the Daily Wire, for instance, is overtly conservative opinion and perspective. We will not give a strike to someone who's overtly a conservative or liberal, like Alternet, for instance. We know they're progressive activists. So we're not going to come to a place where it's like you're literally getting progressive or conservative activism or commentary and then get mad that they're doing it. We'll just put a label saying this is a site that it focuses on an ideology pertaining to the left and their perspective. But then we'll go in and say that's factually incorrect. That maximizes harm. So, opinion websites and commentary, and things like that, we're not going to strike for being opinion or commentary unless they're not labeled as such.
And when do you think truth in media?
It's already, so here's the issue. It's already done, but it could take a few months for tax exempt status to go through.
I see.
Which means we can't put money into it until we have the official, you know, confirmation of tax exempt status.
Okay.
It's not going to do anything political. So it's probably not going to go anywhere near fact checking politicians, just media organizations and, maybe like university content where they do articles and studies. And then we have another one, which is the Open Network Foundation, which is we're building social media technology to make it so people can't be banned anymore. So specifically, we're making an open source free version of a subscription pay service so that anyone can easily just go to the website, click download, drop the file onto their server for their website, and then all of a sudden they have their own version of Patreon. No one can ever ban it. Their hosting server can kick them off. They can find a new server. Their DNS can go after them, whatever. But there's not going to be a centralized Twitter or Patreon to ban them. And then this technology connects with something called the Fediverse, which is a decentralized open source, like social network system. So then what I'll do is I'll go to a website like Gab, for instance. Gab is on the Fediverse. And then I'll put, you know, follow, you know, Bob at Bob.com, which will link to his server. So Gab can't ban him. They can just block access to their servers from his. Anyway, the idea is if I have my own website, which functions as my own private Patreon, Patreon can't ban me. I could only ban myself. Then if people want to, you know, give money, you don't got to worry about giving a portion of your money to someone else. We're going to be using open source and decentralized video hosting. So it'll be free for the most part, which will be one of the cheapest options available. So I think we're looking at Odyssey because Odyssey is like, you know, free to upload.
Okay.
And so people then can then post videos to their own site, post articles to their own site, have a subscriber only option. People can then, you know, I'm going to give $10 a month to this website to be a member. And then you have people having if you sign up for Patreon or Subscribestar or Locals or whatever, you've got to give a percentage of your income. With this open source free software we're building, which we'll make no money on, you don't got to do that.
Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen.
It's happening. I think they actually launched the crew's been building it. They're in alpha, and they've just been building it regardless of the
stuff. That's great.
So now we want to hire people officially to do this stuff, and we've got some people who are interested in making donations, but we have to wait until the new year probably so that we can get our IRS filing for 501c3 status. It is going, the goal is to strengthen the decentralized networks of communication to prevent nefarious political actors from, you know, it's, you know, we'll see how it plays out. There's always decentralized social media network attempts and they never get too big, but the goal is so that people can make a living. So that instead of having to go, so right now people tell me like, why use Patreon? Well, because Patreon is a network and someone can go into Patreon and give $10 to all their favorite creators in one place. With what we're building, you'll be able to do that. You'll be able to sign up in all these different websites will be networked through this. So there will actually be like a recommended, a top trending section and all that stuff that people will be able to go to see this network of creator accounts, and no one can ban it. That's the best part. That also means there'll be a lot of bad people, but that's the internet, and that's anything that goes over the line is going to be responsibility for law enforcement, not for some, you know, despot at Twitter or whatever. So we're hoping that decentralized technology will help people have careers, prevent them from having their lives destroyed by psychopaths like, you know, Zuckerberg, and then just generally create a more robust and balanced political environment. It's going to be fun. Anyway, my friends, smash the like button if you haven't done it already. All those great projects are only possible because you guys are members at TimCast.com. So like I said, when you become a member, money comes in. We are now using that. We did legal filings for these networks. We are not going to make money off the open source project or the fact checking. We are literally saying you as members are funding the building of important work to try and solve these problems. The other thing we're doing is we're building culture. We have the Tales from the Inverted World. We have the Cast Castle vlog. We now have a new show in the works talking about pop culture, comics, movies. And that's what you are basically helping create as members. Not to mention, we're getting you all this stuff. So thanks for being members. You can follow the show at TimCast IRL. You can follow me personally at TimCast. And Andrew, do you want to shout anything out?
Yeah, follow me at Don't Walk Run, all one word, Don't Walk Run on Twitter. And you can look up Don't Walk Run Productions on YouTube. But definitely follow me on Twitter because that's where all the spicy stuff is. That's where I you know, curse and get all nasty to people, including John Fuglesang.
Oh, nice.
Oh, that guy. Yeah. That's cool.
I want to say one thing.
F you.
I gotta say one thing. Luke truly does have the best politicalshirts.com.
Yes.
he has a website. Now, the shirts are, legit. Like, I was looking at how you sketched the 2 + 2 = 5, and I was like, those are good shirts, man.
I have a great team. I can't thank them enough. They're really awesome. They're incredible. So, yeah, the shirt I have on says 2 + 2 = 5, you bigot. it gets a lot of attention, a lot of thumbs up. But I'm also doing a collective art piece with the house, with the vlog. So, I just got a room officially inside of the house, and the room's bare. I have one wall. I'm dedicating it to the audience. Whatever you send to the TimCast mailing PO box that I could put on the wall, whether it's a sign, whether it's a poster, whether it's a picture, I will have to put it up on this one wall. We will truly see what your fans are like, and they can mail stuff
pull up the PO box.
I have it. You can mail me your housewarming gifts or your posters to PO box 1229, mm-hmm. Frederick, Maryland 21702. And of course, I'm going to be documenting it on my social media, but of course it's going to be on the vlog. And I think it'll be interesting to see everyone kind of pitch in into this art piece, which I think is going to be interesting to say the least.
It's
going to
be 50 Gadsden flags in a week.
Or it could be other things we can't even say on the show, which I don't know. It's going to be interesting. So I think it's a good way to spark the conversation, but also have this kind of everything just regurgitated on that wall that represents this show. So whatever you want the show to represent, or whatever you want to represent the large ideas expressed here, mail it.
$100 bills. Like, that'd be so interesting.
I wouldn't be able to use it, but I would have to put it on the wall. But if you can, just try to avoid using Amazon. Try to use something that helps people, like Etsy and eBay, that people directly could use, and try to use as much independent business as you can if you're going to be mailing anything. That's my only request. So
I keep looking. I'm across from Luke, and I keep seeing the shirt, and I keep reading it in Carl Benjamin's voice, you know, because this is exactly what he would say.
You bigot.
I'm not gonna say it, but I love the Lotus Theaters. I love Carl and Callum. They're awesome.
Yeah, shout out.
We need to say goodbye to Lydia.
That's right. I was gonna say, I am really curious to see what all our audience sends to Luke to hang on the wall. I'm a little bit anxious about whatever people send.
And I have to put it up.
Bees.
That's the rules. I have to put it up on the wall.
I want to open a box of bees.
No.
I want to.
A bunch of bees. I'm scared, you guys. Please send Luke good things to hang on his wall. You guys may follow me on Twitter at SourPatchLids.
Worth the follow.
That's
definitely
right.
Definitely worth
follow. Make sure you check out youtube.com/castcastle for all of our fun vlog shenanigans. And it's Friday night, baby. We're going to go hit the casino. We'll see y'all next time.
Bye. Woo!
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.